أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. يا أيها الذين كفروا لا تعتذروا اليوم إنما تجزون ما كنتم تعملون. صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله خير صدق for your beautiful recitation of Quran Karim. Taking from this ayat, Surah Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, save yourselves and your families from fire. Such a fire whose fuel is human bodies and stones. With this intention we have started this program. We want to save ourselves and our families and our children from fire. My dear brothers, before I continue, I will request Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib of the Zillul Ali to come forward, please. Hazrat is sitting somewhere here, so Hazrat's Shagirdan must ask Hazrat to come forward. Hazrat, aapke baghair program hum aage nahi chala sakenge. The purpose of this program, let me state from the beginning, is not to incriminate or condemn anybody or to degrade somebody. So if those people who are sitting here with that intention, let their minds be cleared once and for all. This program is actually an educational program. We want to know what our akabir, our ulama-e kiram, our elders from whom we ask, from our births till death, we need them. So don't we ask them their opinion and their views about this important situation which is arising all over the world. We are facing difficulties. Shouldn't we get the opinion of our akabir? Hazrat Jaffa Shulayi. Yeah. 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 Inshallah Mukharir yahan se bolenge. Our purpose here is not to condemn but to learn. These akabir have, alhamdulillah, they have made sacrifices, they came, we invited them, because our community needs advice. Lot of us, we think we know too much and we decide on our own, things which cost us very dearly later on. These are not things where the children must play, or the women must decide, or ignorant people must decide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know something, come to the people of knowledge. And zikr word is used, is not just knowledge, people who have got remembrance of Allah in their heart. These are the people we have selected for you. These are the people 24 hours of their lives, they are actually spending it in the service of deen, in the remembrance of Allah, in the knowledge, learning and teaching. Totally 24 hours of these people are actually consumed by the service of deen. And if we don't take benefit from them at this occasion, then when we are going to benefit from them? So alhamdulillah, they have said the faith on our invitation, we are invited, because our community of Roshni is facing a situation, and community of Islam and Muslims in this country and all over the world are facing also a situation. Somebody becomes inviting this side, somebody inviting that side, we don't know what to do. So we want our akabir to give us the direction. Inshallah, whatever the akabir say, if we understand, alhamdulillah. And if we don't understand, still we follow behind them. Allah will accept us. When you are behind the imam, you don't understand everything. But you say, Allahu Akbar, I am behind the imam. Then whatever imam does, and we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, matter is over. Now it is in account. We have trusted these ulama always. Our community of South Africa has been always in touch with ulama. They have respected these ulama. Why then at this occasion we don't put them forward and listen to them and take their advice and practice it? I hope inshallah our young generation will listen very, very carefully. Our sisters are also listening. I hope they will take this message to their heart, and in their future decision making inshallah they will consider the opinion of ulama. I hope they listen with the heart, and they will listen with the proper attention, and inshallah they will practice. I will call upon Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman Bayasab has come all the way. In this old age with sickness and all that, he has accepted our invitation. Can you imagine? Now we don't want to take him too long and keep him and make him sitting here for too long. So we are giving actually first opportunity that Hazrat is going to give us some advice inshallah for about 5 minutes inshallah. Jazakumullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa laqilatul mutaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa habibina wa sadiina wa sanadina wa kareemina wa halina imamina wa mahbubina maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwaji wa uladi wa zuriyati wa ahli baytihi wa alkhali wa ansari wa siyahihi wa atbahi wa ummatihi wa alayna ma'hum ajma'in. اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد الثابت الخلق نوره والرحمة للعالمين ظهوره أجد من بدا من خلقك ومن بقي ومن سعيد من ومن سقي صلاة تستغرق لك وتهيب للحق صلاة لا غاية لا ولا انتهاء ولا أمد لا ولا انقضاء صلاة دائمة بدوام وعلى آله وصحبه كذلك والحمد لله على ذلك. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى أيضا الرحمن فاسأل به خبيرا. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى أيضا واتبع فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي الكاتب الأمة. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد الكاتب الأمة. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد بعدد الداء والدواء وبعدد الإلة والشفاء. اللهم صل على سيدنا علي بن مولانا محمد بقدر حسنه وجماله وكماله ونواله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما. يا رب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ مقاصدنا يغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم واعذرنا فيما بقي يا إله العالمين لا تعذبنا فإنا مقرون بالذي قد كان منا. اللهم صل على سيدنا وعلينا محلومنا مولانا محمد سافي إذا ومفرد القلوب بإذن عبلان الغيوب وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. Most respected and honorable ulama kiram who was elders brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by making shukr to Allah for the name of Iman that Allah has favored us with. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, we have a lot to make shukr for that Allah Ta'ala chose us to be the recipient of both the greatest ni'mat that any person can possess, the name of Iman. And Allah Ta'ala dispenses His favors without looking at eligibility, without looking at our effort or anything. Nobody attains any ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. It is gifted only and solely by Allah Jalla Wala. And in that case, we are the happy recipients of Iman, Alhamdulillah. We have to thank Allah Ta'ala profusely for this ni'mat, because the ni'mat of Iman is the greatest ni'mat that a person can possess. If a person possesses all the material wealth of the world, but departs from the dunya without Iman, he has failed miserably in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. One thing we must remember, it is what Allah Ta'ala thinks of us.
us what Allah Ta'ala knows about us that comes at the end of the day. The entire world can say what they want to, but if Allah Ta'ala thinks otherwise, then obviously there's going to be a problem. So our responsibility is in trying to preserve the iman, because the effects of iman are perpetual. In other words, it is on the basis of iman that Allah Ta'ala will determine the type of life we lead on earth. There is another mistake Allah will make me think that iman only has to do with the qabr and akhirah. Not so. Iman has to do with how we live on earth as well. There are many ayat in the Quran, we can't go into all of it, I don't know if you have too much time. There are many ayat in the Quran which attest to the fact that those who adhere, those became submissive to Allah Ta'ala and His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, lived the best kind of life they lived. Whether they were wealthy, poor, healthy, ill, whatever, but they were content with the Lord, they were happy in their lives. And on the other hand, your person has no iman, we see what is happening today, we read the paper, the non-Muslims, they have nothing to look forward to. Not here, not in the qabr, and not in the akhirah. Nothing awaits them but perpetual misery and suffering, from which there is no respite. Remember, in the qabr, akhirah, there is no death. Those who are in punishment will cry out for death, and the malaika will say to them, there is no death here. You had the opportunity, you forsook the opportunity, now you will have to pay. Mehla Gaila. So read to the Kasalat of Shukr every day to thank Allah Jalla wa Ala for this great nehmat of Iman. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, In Shakar Tum Razi Tatakum. If you make shukr for my nehmat, I will increase them to you. So if you make shukr for Iman, Allah Jalla wa Ala will strengthen our Iman and protect it from the dangerousness of Shaitan. Also make a lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala that He made us ummatis of the greatest in His entire creation. فَقْرِدُ عَالَمْ سَرُّنِكَائِنَا سَيِّدُ مَوْجُودَ أَحْمَدِنِ مُشْتَبَى مُحَمَّدِنِ مُشْتَبَى صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. The position of Rasulullah is so elevated in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Just to give you one or two quotes, Allah Ta'ala said, if it wasn't for Rasulullah, He would not have created the universe. So we owe our existence on earth to Rasulullah. We owe Rasulullah the fact that we are able to take the name of Allah, that we are able to perform namaz. It was because of His sacrifices, His du'as. His family and sahaba sacrificed that Allah Ta'ala brought us this far. Otherwise, we were most of us, we Hindus in India, we wouldn't have known anything if they had not sacrificed and propagated the deen of Allah Ta'ala. There are many, many things concerning Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, if we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that dua also will not be accepted unless preceded by Salat Salam on Rasulullah. This shows us that the way to get to Allah Ta'ala is via Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, a brief discussion of our gathering here. One of the reasons we pick up problems like this and all sorts of problems, unfortunately, from time to time in the Ummah, is that the foundation is not very stable. I'm talking of myself. Any invitation to that side, I run that side. Any invitation to that side, I run that side. We tend to forget that deen means ittiba, to follow. Follow Rasulullah Sallam, follow the Sahaba Kiram, follow our pious elders, Alhamdulillah, who will guide us to what Rasulullah Sallam and the Sahaba preached and taught us. If we are going to neglect that opportunity, we are going to end up in a rut, believe me. And also fill our hearts with love of Rasulullah Sallam. Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Shaykhul Aziz in the UK writing his kitab Jamal Muhammadi. I invite every army to buy the kitab, it's worth its weight in gold, Alhamdulillah. He writes there, Namaz is first, Roza is first, Zakat is first, Hajj is first. All these are fard, but a fard above these fard is to fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, if a person's heart is devoid of the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he iman is defective, his iman is defective. This is not part of iman, it is our iman. Now once we have the love of Rasulullah, I will say that ayat muinkana abawukum nawukum, the whole ayat, that if a believer loves anything more than Allah Ta'ala, more than Rasulullah, more than striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala, what warning that Allah Ta'ala gave? He says, for the rebels who wait for what? The punishment of Allah Ta'ala to overtake you. And the punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes in many, many, many forms. That is another thing we must remember. Punishment doesn't only come in the form of pain and suffering and death. I give an example, look at the Hindu community. These people are clever, they wise, they mathematicians, scientists, physicists, whatever. But when it comes to ibadah, they worship idol. Why? They are suffering the punishment of deprivation. This is far worse than any physical pain a person can suffer. Before they will die, they believers. Yeah. This is what we must be careful about. That is why nobody on his own accord should decide what he wants to do. If you're going to go that route, we'll end up, believe me, deceived by Satan. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Did you see, did you consider that person who has made his worlds and planets his deity? It doesn't mean he worships that, it means he follows his own khayalat, his own thought. Without sometimes even having the most basic knowledge in deen, we mutter myself, tend to follow whatever I think is right. Scant regard for the teachings of our pious elders, for the guidance that we receive from time to time, we try and make it on our own. Remember one thing, Rasulullah, the love of Rasulullah is such a great thing. Rasulullah is da'imun hayyun fi qabrihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah is alive in his grave. And every believer receives luminosity, anwarnat, ruhaniyat from the mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right now, every second of the day, that is an ongoing thing for us, alhamdulillah. We should make a lot of sugar. But that we receive is going to be proportionate to our love of Allah Ta'ala, proportionate to our love of Rasulullah, proportionate to our respect for Rasulullah, proportionate to our adherence to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, and proportionate to the amount of salam we recite. The more these things come to the fore, the greater quantity of anwarat we will receive from the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, what a great facility Allah Ta'ala has made available to us. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand. One last thing, our pious elders have enjoyed great success in the eyes of Allah Jalla Wala in the matter of deen. Allah Jalla has used them for bringing thousands of hufaz into the dunya from the madaris. Thousands of ulama have qualified in their madaris. This can't happen to me and any Tawbik and any. It is the barakah that Allah Jalla showers on these people, alhamdulillah. And we will be fools not to heed the advice of these elders. Alhamdulillah. They also don't just say what they want to say. They have information, they study, they think, they pray, they make ibadah. In ayatwattabi sabila man anaba ilayya. If you want to follow those who have turned to me. You can see who has turned to Allah Ta'ala and who hasn't. So always be guided by our pious elders, be guided by our learned elders. Inshallah, we will never go astray. But if I or anybody else decides, then no, they don't know anything, na'udhubillah. That is the biggest mistake we're going to make in our life. We are faced with many, many problems. The reason we are gathered here is one of the issues. Xenophobia is another issue. And how far these things are going to go, Allah alone knows. So hold on to our deen. Hold on to the sunnah of Rasulullah. Hold on to Rasulullah. And the best way of doing it is hold on to our pious elders and the advice that they give us. Believe me. You see, if our hearts are not cleansed, that's why I said the foundation is not very stable, meaning our hearts are soiled. Now if you stand in the front of a world that is soiled, what are you going to see? Grand, that's all. So how can we receive the anwarat of Allah Ta'ala? How can we receive the nur, the magnificence, the radiance from the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah when my own heart is soiled? In all who come through. So do the best we can, primary consideration, abstain from guna. If a person indulges in sin, unfortunately, what will happen? If a person indulges in sin, unfortunately, he will never be able to distinguish between right or wrong. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you have taqwa, if you abstain from sin, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with the ability of Furqan to distinguish between right and wrong. Not on your own, but in the company of our pious elders. In conclusion, I make dua to Allah Jalla Wala that Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq to listen with an open mind to what our elders are saying, to listen attentively. And just listening is not enough to put into practice what we hear from them. That is the desirable thing. So I pray my dua that Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq to make amal and all of us inshallah.
جزاكم الله أحسن الجزاء. Please brothers, we request you to come forward because there is a lot of brothers sitting at the back. They find no space. So please move a little bit. Move forward, inshallah, if you find space in front of you. Please fill in that space. Inshallah, Allah will reward you. And there will be space for brothers at the back. جزاكم الله أحسن الجزاء. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand and to practice.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ahmadu wa salli ala Rasulil Kareem. We go straight on to the topic. Respect the elders and brothers, we know that Syria has been out in a state of emergency. Following a coup which was exercised in 1963 by the Ba'ath Party and subsequently ruled by the Assad family since 1970. Hafiz al-Assad, who is the father of Bashar al-Assad, chose a very violent path of losing Syria, which led to a 1982 massacre of Hama, in which at least 50,000 people were killed and over 20,000 people were reported missing. It was at this particular time when great Imam of Syria, the likes of Shaykh Abdul Fattah al-Mu'tah, and various others were forced to go into exile, and many others that remained behind unfortunately had to give their lives for his deen. Respected elders and friends, various other massacres also occurred in various different Gulf of Syria apart from the famous massacre of Hama. Having struggled to deal with cruelty and oppression for approximately 5 decades, once again the Syrian population today are facing a manslaughter. And the background to this was, in March 2011, there were 15 children in the southwestern city of Daraa, all school-going children between the ages of 9 and 15, who were arrested and detained for writing a slogan which may term as a graffiti on a school wall when they depicted the president in some unhappy terms for the president, which resulted in their detention. The family members of these children resented this and protested against this detention, which led to the security forces suppressing the family members and detaining them as well. This then led and prompted mass protests in primarily 4 areas of Syria, which is known as Idlib, Aleppo, Hama, and Homs, which is a stronghold of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Respected elders and brothers, initially the demands were very peaceful, wherein the people were wishing or voicing their wishes for some sort of reform and to live under more liberated conditions. However, the president at that time made some international announcements and he promised to undertake certain reforms. Unfortunately, he failed to fulfill his promise and suppressed the protesters and deployed arms and an army to suppress the protesters, which then turned into what we see today, and the entire Syrian cause has taken a different picture. Respected elders and brothers, the Syrian people witnessing more and more of their dear ones dying and being arrested on a daily basis, the entire protest has been replaced with revolt. And what we know, respected elders and brothers, what has done over the last 4 years, I'll just give you some figures just to highlight what has happened over the last 4 years, which is extremely amazing and extremely sad. But a total population of approximately 22 million, and 88% belonging to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and 12% to various other religions and sects, and of that 4-5% belonging to the Alawi Husseini sect, which some of our seniors of the Sharia allude to, who are in the ruling party. Up to date, at least 300,000 people have been killed. Over 12 million people are at an imminent risk of food shortage and are in need of immediate aid and are 100% dependent on foreign aid. At least 8 million people are displaced internally within their own country. Despite the elders and brothers, Brother Morales alluded to xenophobic violence. One small refugee camp is established for 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 people. It is so difficult to manage those camps. It's something which is beyond our control, beyond stakeholders' control as well. This is a total of 8 million people, so we should just understand the difficulty they're going through. Approximately 5 million people are displaced in neighboring countries such as Turkey, Iraq, Lebanon, Jordan, and the North African countries. Of these respected elders and brothers, 400,000 Palestinian refugees are directly affected in the Syrian crisis who were made refugees previously, and now for a second time they are facing difficulties. 350,000 children have been declared as orphans. This is what is registered. What is not registered and those are accounted for only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And more than 2 million of these refugees are children. And since the outbreak of the crisis in March 2011 up to now, more than 500,000 people have been arrested and they are kept in approximately 27 torture camps and prisons that have been identified so far. One of the cities known as Halab, which is a very famous city, a city that has produced great ulama and sulaha and pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This city, at one stage, the population of this city was 4 million. Today there is less than 250,000 people in the city. And this city has been seized to such an extent, it has been ringed and encircled, that between the two points is approximately only 4 kilometers. So it's very difficult for anyone who's out to get in and who's in to get out. And so, ladies and brothers, I do not want to go into much detail. And the role of neighboring countries, especially Turkey, is playing. You know the role that Turkey is playing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his government. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on guiding them. Turkey has a very outstanding role to play because of the border they share with Syria. Approximately 911 kilometer border range between Turkey and Syria. 4 border posts and 2 are very important, the Bab al-Hawa and the Bab al-Salam border. Recently, the two border posts have also come under attack to try and halt any sort of aid that is going to. And we should take into consideration that the Turkish government up to now has spent $5.5 billion in assisting refugees. Despite other brothers, I don't want to go into the health and all the other systems, what is the condition in the refugee camps, which is extremely traumatizing. I would just like to mention 4 or 5 incidents, and these are direct incidents. The first incident is in Beyba, the city of Beyba. Once on one of our visits, we managed to meet certain families who came from the city approximately 300 kilometers from where we actually had to escape by foot. This city was surrounded by the Syrian army. The army that went in, raided home to home, separated the males from the females, men from women and children. In this one town of Beyba, 800 men were slaughtered in front of the women and children. Thereafter, the bodies were piled up and they were burnt alive. In fact, when one of the youngsters was mentioning this incident to us, because this youngster was approximately 11 or 12 years old, he witnessed the brutal murder of 6 of his uncles and his father. And like that, many other incidents. Another incident is that his mother was once met one family. And this mother was crying profusely. And the reason for this is that the Assad forces at that time bulged into the house
and she had 5 young daughters, teenage girls. The youngest 2 and the eldest approximately 14. Respected elders and brothers, first they traumatized her, threatened her, and then in front of the mother, all 5 children were then slaughtered. One family, one mother mentioned to us, she said she didn't mention to us the family members because she wasn't talking because she was traumatized. She was preparing meals for her family in her home when the forces went in, and she had an infant child in her hand and she was preparing meals. So the forces asked her, "What are you doing?" She said, "No, I'm preparing meals for my family." While she was preparing meals, they snatched the baby out of her arms, snatched her, cut the baby into pieces, and then put it in the cooking pot and said, "Go and eat your baby." So, respected elders, these are some of the atrocities that are being carried out in there. And the atrocities in the jails is something which we cannot even make mention of. In fact, one person we met in a paraplegic rehab center where he was receiving treatment to start walking, managed to escape after a while from some of the jails. Respected elders and brothers, this person was 6 nails were knocked into his back, into his body. And he mentioned to us that he'd seen other people in the jails whose skin were pulled off the body by means of flies. Anyway, respected elders and brothers, on one of the trips in one of these rehab hospitals, we seen schoolgirl children. There were approximately 30 of them, and between the ages of 8 and 16 or 17. They hadn't committed any crime. The only crime is they were on their way back home from school, and then the sniper shot each one of them in the back, which made each one of them paralyzed. So now they can live a life of misery for the rest of their lives. Respected elders and brothers, this which I have mentioned was since the outbreak of the crisis into the first 2 years of the crisis. Thereafter, many groups have sprung up with different locals. Up to date, there are almost 100 groups who are fighting in Syria. Approximately 100 groups. Whosoever only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But 2 years ago, after some of the groups have sprung up, the entire demographics of Syria has changed. Damascus was under siege and was about to be victorious. And when this group has sprung up, the victory has changed into misery, and up to now the people are still suffering. The refugee camps, the border areas, especially the Turkey border, which is a very secure border, supposed to be a safe area where the majority of the women and children are residing and taking shelter as refugees. This is supposed to be the safest area, but after the arrival of this group, respected elders and brothers, many things have changed, and the areas that are safe are now areas of danger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us complete understanding, inshallah. Just one point before I forget, respected elders and brothers, 2 important points. The first point is the areas of Fallujah, Kirkuk and Ramallah, these are all Sunni areas. These areas have been attacked by this group, and Sunni people have been displaced. In fact, Fallujah is 100% Sunni area, and senior ulama and muftis of these areas have been killed. And number 2, respected elders and brothers, when I asked some very senior alim of Syria, his name is Sheikh Osama Al-Ifa'i, who is the son of Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Ifa'i, that what was the objective of the rising of this group, who is the head of the Syrian ulama? He mentioned that there are 2 objectives of this group. First is to paralyze the Sunni uprising that was taking place in Syria, and the Sunni uprising that was taking place in Iraq, which we are not aware because the media did not put it on the screens. And secondly is to hijack the uprising. So now the Syrian cause, everyone has forgotten about the 300,000 people who have been killed. Everyone has forgotten about the different tortures. Now the entire topic is, are they good or are they bad? So inshallah, our elders will educate us more on this topic, inshallah, very briefly. I'm just trying to be concise and put this message forward. Let Allah grant us all hidayah, inshallah.
Jazakumullah wa sallallahu alayhi wa. I hope our brothers can measure the type of atrocities and zulm taking place in Syria that has been taking place and still continues to take place. And there's a lot of action and then reaction and action and reaction and a lot of groups. It's very difficult actually now for us to understand, but that is the reason we are together tonight to understand, try to understand what is happening there and what should be the role of our Muslims. Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Samiji Sahib Mutazimul Ali, the principal of Darul Uloom Zakaria, very, very well-known personality, thousands of students of his are all over the world teaching Islam, and alhamdulillah our country is very, very proud of him and his institution. Hazrat has given us also his time. He will give us a little bit of more enlightenment on this subject. Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Samiji Sahib Mutazimul Ali.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يؤمنون والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والعاقبة للمتقين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected Asatiz Ikram, Ulama Izzaram, Elders, Brothers, Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh. We know, my dear brothers, we have gathered here, we have heard some of the atrocities, and also, as was mentioned, there are many groups that have sprung up. What should we do? First and foremost, my dear brothers, the subject is not taqleed. Taqleed means to follow somebody without proof, knowing that it's going to collect, he has a proof, but not to ask him for a proof. And taqleed is such an important matter, my dear brothers, that if we align, stay aligned, as was mentioned to our Akabirin, Uzkum al-Adeen, then inshallah, Aziz will be saved from many, many fitnas. For instance, in a hadith itself, first and foremost, remember, there is no one who follows the hadith directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our times. Those that claim to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, they are following Bukhari, Muslim, they were also men. And in the commentary of this hadith is Sahih, this is not Sahih, this is Zaid, they are also dependent upon somebody's information. So everyone is making taqleed. Our difference is this, we are making taqleed of Imam Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad. And we have put our full confidence that their understanding of Sharia is far above anybody else. And we will follow them and we will not jump from one to another. We know the hadith is there of making Rafa Adin in Salah, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu hadith is there. Of them making Rafa Adin before Ruku, etc., Abdullah ibn Masud hadith is there. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu has six different versions, the six times he made Rafa. And the people who made Rafa do not follow all of them. We will go to the Imam, they will give tarjih, either to Abdullah ibn Masud divide or Abdullah ibn Umar divide. And we will follow them. And they will not in any way negate any hadith. But when we try to follow the hadith on our own, we will negate the hadith. When we negate the hadith, then my dear brothers, there is a great fear that we go out of the whole Islam, because a blessed thought will come to our hearts. So that is why taqleed is very, very necessary. In every matter we mean taqleed. Then my dear brothers, the Quran Kareem itself says, in a matter of dispute, as our senior alim has mentioned, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَاسْتَقْسَمُ وَرَتِقْرِينُ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Then we have to go to people who have knowledge in a matter of dispute, what is their opinion regarding this matter. And when they will give their opinion in the light of the Quran and Hadith, if we reject that, then my dear brothers, is something we said of, that also can weaken our hadith. So in every matter we make taqleed. And my dear brothers, when we make taqleed of our Qabeen, our Zubaneen, our Ulama, sometimes we talk of the Ulama and Deoband, and some people, many people mention, what is Ulama and Deoband? Ulama and Deoband, my dear brothers, they are true replica of following the Quran and Hadith. Once Mufti Mahmud Sahib, what is Ulama and Deoband? So he mentioned five things. This is what makes a person who following the norms of the Ulama and Deoband. And this is not only Ulama and Deoband, this is a sign of a person following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first condition, Ishqi Ilahi ki tabi shiyeme, Surah Zumar. That means the burning love of Allah in our hearts. If the burning love of Allah is not in our hearts, my dear brothers, then that person has no iman whatsoever. Number two, to stay away from every sort of bidat, every sort of innovation to stay away from. Number three, Rasulullah says, and love, as Mulana mentioned, should be far above the love of any of the creation besides of all the creation, including our parents also. The love of Rasulullah says, should be more than everyone else. And that will, inshallah, show who we will follow. And four is this, in every part of our lives, whether it be our earning, spending, marriage, etc., we should make it by Rasul and see how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got his daughters married, and that we should follow. And the number five is this, that our whole life should be spent in learning and teaching deen. If that is, my dear brothers, our life, then we will be following our Qabidin and Zubani deen. And this is what we have to bring into our life. So it is not a blindfold of anyone. These are the qualities which you see what we are doing, what we are not doing. Now coming back to my dear brothers, the objective we have here today. First and foremost, Allah himself, Rasulullah himself, Jihad al Maas in Allah Yumil Qiyamah. Nobody can negate Jihad in any way. And the objective of this Majlis Yama represents, is in no way, in any way, to tell out the importance of jihad from our lives. But of course, my dear brother, jihad has certain conditions, and jihad has certain limitations. The objective should be there. If it is done without those conditions and limitations put by the Sharia, then it will not be jihad in any way, my dear brothers. Then it will be just spending our life and sacrificing our lives. That is why it is very, very important, my dear brothers, what are the conditions of jihad we should understand. Where there is an ameer, where there is no ameer, what should be the conditions of jihad? If the conditions of jihad are not fulfilled, and the kitab that I have so heavier, Ad-Dawlat al-Islamiyya bayn al-Haqiqat wal-Amn, is written by a very, very senior alim of Iraq, who was the ustad of the so-called Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and he mentions in detail how this group is a deviation, has got nothing to do with deen, and he mentions in detail, as far as jihad is concerned, this book is available on the website too, but inshallah very, very soon it will be translated in English for the benefit of the Muslim community in general. That is why it is very, very important, my dear brothers. In the time of Rasulullah, there was one group, they were known as Khawarij. Rasulullah himself says, يَحْكِرُوا أَحَدُكُمْ صَلَاتُهُ إِلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ وَصِيَامُهُ إِلَىٰ صِيَامِهِمْ. The namazas of you in India, that you have regarded namazas as very tribal in comparing their namazas. And their roza will be of such nature, how they will pass, you will develop your salat, as completely, your soul, as insignificant in comparing to their siyam. And then Nabi alayhi salam says, but they will have nothing to do with deen. They have left the deen completely. That is why the ulama mentioned that husn and niyyat itself is not enough. First and foremost, for any act, it is very, very necessary that our intention be correct. But our intention is to help our Muslim brothers and our young brothers that are born. My dear brothers, in a way, we have to appreciate the jazba that these young brothers have. It is unfortunate that the jazba has been channeled in the wrong way. If the jazba was channeled in the right way, it would bring benefit to number of sacrifice. In fact, the ulama have written, making a sacrifice for the power of God, Abad, will only end up in what you call life being destroyed and nothing better. In fitna and fasad, nothing will be achieved whatsoever. Where it is very, very necessary that a niyat be correct to please Allah Ta'ala, the tariqa of Rasulullah should be adopted. The way of Rasulullah should be adopted. The sunnah of Rasulullah should be adopted. I cannot say I want to read namaz to be close to Allah Ta'ala and read namaz of my life. In the same way, as far as jihad is concerned, there are laws governing jihad, my dear brothers. What are the laws? Those laws should be understood and learned. As far as the khilaf is concerned, first and foremost, my dear brothers, there are two ways of khalifa being appointed. One way of khalifa being appointed by the ulama of that particular time, unanimously they appoint a certain person, like Adnan Abdullah Muhammad Umar Sahib. But the Zidu, 1500 ulama took bear on his hands and unanimously elected him. And he did not say I want to become a khalifa. He cried profusely that I am not fit for this job. Khalifa means now the suffering of any individual in India. I'm not giving you a fear that I'll be Christian for it. And I'm not for the credit of a job. And they insisted. The narrative of a Khalifa, my dear brothers, the previous Khalifa appointed someone. When Muhammad Umar was appointed, he never claimed even to be a Khalifa and never passed a fatwa of kufr of those people in the Afghanistan itself who did not want to take bad on his hands. Leave alone making a claim of Khilafat that you have to take what you call bad on my hands to people who are not living in Afghanistan. Even the forces that were fighting the Taliban, he used to say that they are honest, they do not know, they are forced, they are Muslim or Muslim brothers are harmed. Because oppression will be over, they will come back into Islam. Our beloved Nabi al-Islam did not come in this world to make people kafirs. Our Nabi al-Islam came in this world, my dear brothers, to take the people out from the gutters of kufr and fire, and to bring them into the beautiful fold of Islam. And for that, my dear brother, Hazrat Sumar ibn Musa radiallahu ta'ala was a prisoner and arch enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He left no stone unturned in harming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was captured and brought. Nabi alayhi salam commanded that he be fastened to one of the pillars of the masjid. And the object of fastening was just to see the life of the Mu'mineen and Muslimin. And then every day, Nabi alayhi salam, well, what have you decided? He said, in Tunim, if you will make a son of me, leave me, then I will be thankful. I will give whatever you wish. And if you have to kill me, then both of you will kill it, because I have done so much harm to you. On the third day,
نو بيلاو النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في يمين في أقاد الجي بايل read a kalim and brought him on. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, the worst face on earth was your face. The most face I desired to see. Your face will become the most beloved face in my heart now. The worst city was Madinah Munawwarah. Madinah Munawwarah will become the most beloved city in my heart now. Allah Ta'ala said, love. There is iman in Islam, I get this. Not one who does not believe as kufar. The group, my dear brothers, the highest, has openly declared kufar on anyone that is not except this person, Abu Bakr Baghdadi. And this kitab that is there, which shall be translated very soon. The ulama have been detailed how many Sunni ulama they have slaughtered. As Muhammad mentioned, the area was born just to make things difficult for the little aid that is coming. There also this particular group has been responsible. A person from Syria to me, with the regime, there is not even a real fight that has taken place. But all the fights up to now, they have only created an ishtilaf in the Sunnis. And he said that Damascus would be 2 days or 2 days more and it would have fallen. And this particular group came and they tried. And what was a victory was apparent has become not defeat, but thousands of Muslim brothers and sisters have lost their life, my brothers, and continue doing their life. And also it is very, very important, like I have said, that we have to see in the life of those ulama that are staying there, what is the condition and how they regard this particular group, my dear brothers. The International Union of Muslim Scholars, more than 1,000 ulama, they had unanimously, in the beginning they thought that there is something good coming out. But when they saw the modus operandi, which had nothing to do with deen, they completely distanced themselves and they said that stay away from group. Allah knows who's been this group. In fact, one of our sisters, Yaron, brought iman in Islam. She remarked, I was in the hands of the Taliban, I was bitter towards them. I saw their lives, Allah opened the door of iman to me. Had I been in their hands, same time they would have slaughtered me and dispersed me to Jahannam. The Syrian Islamic Assembly, headed by Sheikh Osama Rifai, hundreds of ulama, and just yesterday I had the opportunity of speaking to him, and he was crying that was a definite political victory. Because of this group, it is still in defeat, completely distance themselves from this particular group. And as I mentioned, this kitab is written by the Ustad of the so-called Abu Bakr Baghdadi. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Yaqubi, Imam and Khatib of the Umayyah Masjid of Damascus, has also distanced himself. Sheikh Hassan al-Qattani, Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Mahdi, the ulama of Iraq, and as Muhammad mentioned, that they have attacked Fallujah, and I had the opportunity to go to Fallujah in the beginning, when this Americans have taken over for Arabia, 100% Fallujah and Ramadi, 100% Sunni areas, and these Sunni areas are being bombed by the spiritual group. Sheikh Ahmed al-Sunni, it is very, very surprising that in Afghanistan, even get also to walk in Taliban territory. Then, my dear brothers, the powers of the world have such sources where the get also is born, legal or moving. And this particular group, hundreds of cars are there, nothing happens to them. Allah Ta'ala knows, my dear brothers. That is why Imam Rafi writes in one place, he says, I haven't got proof of it. But I know a certain elect Indian officer, and his modus operandi, and this group's modus operandi is very, 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 very the same. I will just mention some of the amals which we cannot, under any circumstances, my dear brothers. First and foremost, pass a fatwa on kufr on anyone. That is a very, very severe thing, my dear brothers. To take out anybody from iman in Islam, who's in Islam, is a grave sin. The fatwa of kufr will come upon us, my dear brothers. We have no right to judge. Of course, there's a law of Sharia. If those laws, my dear brothers, we have skipped those laws, then we are in for a danger. We can't see somebody starting now, and there's proper conditions on there. The Khawarij did that, and this group is doing that. But anybody that opposes them anyway, anybody that does not take care, we are all Kafirs and we are Wajib al-Qatl. That is, my dear brothers, the food grain and the fatwa is very, very open. Number two, my dear brothers, unnecessary killing. Killing of innocent people. Islam has no place in that. In fact, Islam says, one life, taking one life that should not be taken is like taking the life of the whole of mankind. And to save one life is like saving the whole of mankind. In one better world, Hazrat Ali bin Walid made an ijtihadi mistake where he thought a person was reciting the kalima and he was not sincere. Nabi Ali told him, Khalid, this has nothing to do. Number three, they propagate to take the wealth of other people. Hazrat Mughir ibn Shu'bah brought iman in Islam. He was sent by the Meccans as ambassador. were two of the other disbelievers. He was not a believer yet. When they were coming there, they were given a lot of hadiyah, but Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah was not given. One place the school got together when they were coming back and they drank beer. Of course, used to drink the Kufan used to drink. Hazrat Mughira was not Hazrat yet. He did not drink. He saw the disciples, took their wealth and came away to Madinah Munawwarah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, your Islam is accepted, but as well that you have taken wrongly, that would have returned to them. That was the wealth of a kafir, my dear brothers. There he saw Malik Nimat. Here he is proposing, you go, you can take a bank account, leave the country and just take people's wealth. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. In fact, the ulama have written, it will be a very sad day on the day of Qiyamah, that you do a non-Muslim down in the day of Qiyamah, you put amal or given to him. That's not going to help him. It may decrease the fire of Jahannam upon him, but it's of no help to anyone. That your good amal will be taken by Allah Ta'ala, that is justice. Nobody is the son of Allah Ta'ala. Nobody is favored by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Complete justice will be given. You do wrong, you take somebody else's wealth. The muftis even say to this much, that we are living in this country, you will make a deal and you have to give interest. And then you don't pay that man. That is also not permissible. Why did you do the people like my brothers? In Dawud Islam you mean different, but there is no Dawud Islam. Now for our walidain, so much pain, so much hurt has come to them. Allah says, وَلَا تَقُلُّمَ أُفْ means not cause any pain to them. And unfortunately, my dear brothers, group, so much pain has come to many, many parents, unnecessary pain, my dear brothers. There is no pain in Sharia. Nabi al-Islam, on certain instance, stopped people from going to jihad. Said, you have walidain, look after them. We know the very famous incident of Uwais Qabi, rahmatullahi alayhi. But we don't have details to go into that, and we do not want to go into that. Then, my dear brothers, lie has no place in Islam. Lie only the Shia say, that la iman aliman la taqiyatanu, wa tisadu'a shalim tu taqiyah. That person has got no iman, who does not press taqiyah, and taqiyah is a banking of deen. In our deen, there is no way. There is only one condition, where a sword is put on your head, and there it is said now, say a word of kufr to save your life. There is preferable rather to die and say, I love Allah. But there Allah Ta'ala has given a commission that out of the word utter the word of kufr, to come out of it and even miss this tefal and tawbah for that. But there is no place for lie. In fact, in one hadith, Nabi Rasam says, a person, a woman can commit zina out of his other his weakness, but a woman can never lie, my dear brothers. It is said that a person lies for miles and miles, the malaika of Rahman go through him. This group, my dear brothers, and bring our young people to lie, to get away what they did. That is the modus operandi of the Shias, that is the modus operandi of the Jews. It is their modus operandi that to achieve your object, do anything, everything becomes halal. No, we are not that. We are the followers of Rasulullah, so we are founded every time. Our wealth is not ours, as we like to spend. We cannot earn what we wish, we cannot spend as we wish. In jihad, we cannot do what we wish. We cannot kill as we wish. There are rules and conditions, my dear brothers. Where jihad can be done? How well in jihad? Jihad is necessary. Nobody says it is not necessary, but the conditions should be applied, my dear brothers. Then, my dear brothers, this group even says that one of the most deviant groups on earth is the Tablighi Jamaat, my dear brothers. You will have the Ijtima recently. What about deviation you see in the Tablighi Jamaat? In fact, they say that this is the army of Dajjal. For the Tablighi, my dear brothers, they go to the gutters and pick that person up and bring him to the masjid. How can they be a deviant group? And they completely banned the Tablighi Jamaat. In fact, there was one letter here in Iraq when they took over Mosul. First thing, they banned the Tablighi Jamaat completely. A similar group took place in Swat in Pakistan. They banned what it was. They banned the Tablighi Madras in Pakistan. I can tell you, more than 20,000 people brought Iman on the hand of one Jamaat that went to Madagascar only. That is a different matter. They say that you only work within the six branches for certain reasons and leave the thing to the Ulama Ikram. It is a different matter, my dear brothers. But the Tablighi Jamaat, if anybody has to distance himself from the Tablighi Jamaat and say that they are deviant, my dear brothers, and they are Muslim people, then, my dear brothers, that is a very great misconception they have. Unanimously, the ulama have in every place have accepted the Tablighi Jamaat. Yes, in certain people, certain what you call deficiencies can be there, shortcomings can be there. That is a different matter. But to condemn the Jamaat is the whole, my dear brothers, that this is a group of Dajjal, they are deviant from the understood of the Jamaat, that is a very, very serious thing, my dear brothers. And also, as far as, my dear brothers, in jihad, there are usuls, and unfortunately, the way this group has gone about,
They have completely, my dear brothers, there's no time. The other speakers, as the Mahaprabhu Hamisar is here, other speakers here. Those souls have been completely violated in every way, my dear brothers. And I also say that, my dear brothers, that one hadith I will read to you, my dear brothers, where our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that is from Nu'aym ibn Hammad in Kitab al-Fitan. Inna Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu qala, idha raytum ar-rayat as-sul, when you will see dead flags. First the moment and earth, then stay stuck to the, your earth, do not move. وَلَا تَحَرَّكُمْ وَلَا تَحَرَّكُمْ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَلَا أَرْجُلَكُمْ. Do not move whatsoever. ثُمَّ يَذْرُكُمْ زُوَفَاوْ لَا يُبَوْ بِهِمْ قُلُوبُهُمْ كَذَّبَتِ الْحَدِيثِ. That their hearts will be hard like the piece of iron. No mercy will be in their hearts. Our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to see an animal in distress, and our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to be heard that what is happening to them. That was the ram in the fellow of Nabi. Our Nabi has taught us that a cat you will not feed and you will fasten it, you can go into Jahannam because of that. And maybe a dog you will feed, if Allah likes it, otherwise you can go into Jannah. The rights of animals are being mentioned. These people's hearts will be like piece of iron. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Hum ashabu dawla. They were people of regimes. They were considered to be a dawla to Islamiyah. Nabi alayhi salam further says, La yafuna bi'ahdi wa la bi'saqin. They will not fulfill promises and honor pledges to lie with permissible. Whereas thus, there are many incidents in the hadith. Hazrat Muawiyah was marching towards the border against the Kufar. A Sahabi told him, you have a peace treaty that you are not going to fight until the time ends. The time is not ended, you can't even march towards there. You stay. Hazrat Muawiyah called his forces back, waiting for the time to come, then march. One person in the town of Umar radiallahu anhu asked for a glass of water. He said, promise me that you will not what you call, give me the sin on death until I drink that. That's water is finished. He said, I'll give it you. What do you call? Until you drink the water. He took the water and he threw the water down. He cannot drink the water. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said that now my promise is there. I cannot turn back. Nabi alayhi salam in severe conditions of war also. All always made the Sahaba fulfill their promises. Then there is also, يَتْمُونَ الْحَقْ وَلَيْسُ مِنَاتِهِ. Their dawah and their claim will be haq. If you are going towards the haq, they will have nothing to do with haq. A small mulkuna. In other words, they will introduce themselves. Abu Bakr is not his new name. As Abu Bakr, Abu Falan, Ibn Falan. That's how they will mention them. Manis Qudum al-Quran. And they will attribute themselves towards places. Baghdad, whatever it be. They may not be even from those places first. Qushurum murqatun kashurin nisa. Their hairs may long like the hair of women. Hatta yaktarifu fima bainahum. And the time will come that there will be ikhtilaf among themselves. Summa yutillahu al-haqqa yasha. Till Allah Ta'ala will choose haqq whomever wishes. There is one kitab that is written by these people, Allah al-Anam bi miladi darul Islam. This kitab that we see, that I just showed you, inshallah, very soon will be translated. It is, my dear brothers, it is a reply to all the allegations also, and the lies they have perpetrated. In end, I will just mention one of these. That this wife said, I am very, very, what you call, I have in mind first and foremost one hadith of Nabi al-Islam. Man khasama fi batli wa yamu, lam yazal fi sakatillah hatta yanza. That person who goes in debate and fights in for batil, and he knows it is batil, then he will stay engaged in the ghazab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And man khala fi mu'min ma'alisa fi, anyway, a person has to attribute towards a believer, as I have attributed these things of Abu Bakr in his room, what is not in him, that Allah will make this person stay in the first of the Jahannamis until the person does not make tawbah from this mighty brothers. And we in this country, the Zenophia that has come, Zenophia, there is a wake up call. How many of this is my brothers, that whatever people use it for the sake of him, let our lifestyle come down. Take deen to the suffering people of this area. Dawah even lies first. When Dawah is rejected, then the other cause follows. Also, there is also their condition for it. And as the Quran has mentioned, that stick ourselves to our Qadim and Ulama. If we stick ourselves to our Qadim and Ulama in their guidance, inshallah, Aziz, Allah will protect us, my dear brothers. Our great Ulama in Musulman again also used to do this. They used to stay in the company of the Ulama, and Ulama, as I mentioned, those five conditions are there. He must be Muttabi Rasul. He must have the proper Sharia. He must have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must not live how he lies. He does not his life. The love of the world should not be near him. These are the rules we should follow our Qadim and Musulman here. Allah Ta'ala will save us. Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, the jazbah that our young people have, Allah Ta'ala will tawfiq of diverting the jazbah towards good minded others. And here there's a tremendous opportunity for us to guide people towards deen and iman, my dear brothers. Every vicinity, there's a small black community and works in that wallah billah billah. Their hearts are open for iman and Islam. Appreciate what we have brought here, my dear brothers. Do the work of iman. Change our intention. Our intention at the moment is to make money. Inna lillah, then we will suffer. Tomorrow is our brothers from outside, tomorrow is only us. We come up under other conditions. If we do not change our intentions and make deen, then my dear brothers, our objective in this world will be defeated. We will be dispatched and Allah Ta'ala will create another people to take his deen forward.
Jazakumullah Hazrat Marana Shabir Ahmad Sabiji Sabud Zainul Ali for your very detailed discussion on this subject, which is the more we hear it, the more we become scared, and the more it becomes serious for us. And I hope our sisters and mothers and fathers are listening in Roshni, that this is not something small. You just send your child or let your child go in the name of Allah, and I am going to fight for the sake of Allah, and I am going to protect Muslims. But you must know also on whose side are you fighting. It should not happen, you kill your other brother Muslim, and you become instrumental in strengthening such evil forces which might be fighting in the name of Islam. I am wearing the black turban here. Rasulullah entered Fatah Makkah time also, he was wearing black turban. Does anyone who wears black turban, he become a Muslim conqueror? It's not like that. Anyone who carries a black flag is no sign that he has become Imam Mahdi. When anybody can make a black flag and he says, I am Mahdi, will you follow him? He will take you to Jahannam and you say, I am following Imam Mahdi. There are millions of Mahdis came to this world. Every century, two, three Mahdis, Mahdi Sunani, Mahdi Jorkuri, Mahdi I don't know what. There are millions of Mahdis that went to Jahannam already. The real Mahdi will come, inshallah, Muslim Ummah will follow him. And they will take us to Jannah, he will take us to Jannah. But in anticipation of that real Mahdi, lot of false Mahdis came to this world and misguided the Muslim Ummah. May Allah save us. Don't let your children be misled by people in the name of Islam, in the name of Jihad, in the name of Mahdi, in the name of black flag, in the name of black turban, or in the name of black or white turban or whatever. My dear brothers, our ulama, they are the guiding people. When they tell us go, we'll go. When they tell us don't go, we don't go. That is very simple. When we read behind them namaz, janaza is without them is not complete, birth is not complete, nikah is not complete, and how can be jihad complete without them? Our ulama are guiding us, we have to listen to them. I will, inshallah, call now upon Maulana Ibrahim Bamsar, our famous leader of Muslims and General Secretary of Jamiat Ulama Transvaal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prolong his life. He has accepted our invitation on a very, very short notice. He was actually invited today and he has accepted. May Allah reward him, and we want to listen to him. Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Bamsar, Samudra Zilulai.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi wa'da, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da, ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu, wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi, wa la kitaba ba'da kitabi, wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'ati. Amma ba'du, fa'ud billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil'alamin, sadaqallahu al-azim. Respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salutations be upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a rite of passage, many a times people will, when they are called upon, they will acknowledge the elders and make mention with regard to them. And I will also do the same, and inshallah, I say this with utmost sincerity, that I am not worthy of speaking in the presence of people like Mufti Razaul Aksab, my Ustad, Maha Shabir Sahib, and Maha Yunus Daya. May Allah Ta'ala prolong the barakah and blessing over us for a very long period of time. Obviously, we are here to discuss a particular aspect that has been around in the community or the international world, but has reached our shores in a way that perhaps no one has envisaged. It has also brought about many challenges. And I think it is important for us to look at those challenges, maybe to address those challenges, and also to look at some of the questions that has arisen out of those challenges. I think the first aspect is when we have put on record with regard to the stance of the ulama with regard to ISIS. Mawlana Sharif Sahib has so beautifully explained the situation with regard to what the stance is of the ulama of the region. Also Mawlana has made mention of the stance of the Jamiat, the United Ulama Council has also been put on the masjid boards for the past last month or so. We must always bear this in mind that our stance is not based on the acceptance of the status quo in the world today. Many a times when we do take a stance against this group, then you are accused by saying that you are happy with the oppression that is meted out against Muslims throughout the world. No, we are as deeply hurt as anyone else, or perhaps more than anyone else, what is happening to the Muslims in Palestine, what is happening to the Muslims in Iraq, what is happening to the Muslims in Afghanistan and other parts of the world. We have to bear this in mind that people have come into Iraq on false pretense with strategic objectives and in the process of that have killed thousands if not hundreds of thousands of people. And we are hurt with regard to it. We might differ with regard to our methodology. So the first aspect that we have to put on record is this, that because of the fact that we are against the group does not mean that we are in favor of the status quo that has dominated this world. We are not in favor with regard to it. Methodologies might change. We look at the seerah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was attacked by the Allied forces in the battle of the trench, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dug a trench as a defensive ploy, despite knowing that the people were out to destroy and annihilate Islam and the Muslims. Now that particular methodology of taking refuge under and behind the trench does not diminish the courage and does not diminish the fervor and enthusiasm of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu to fight oppression. Does it mean in any way that Nabi Karim Sallallahu by fighting and by digging a trench and taking a defensive position at that time, does it mean that he was in favor of the status quo? Was he in favor of the Quraysh? Was he in favor of that particular aspect? No. So I think this first aspect that we've got to put on record is this. The second aspect is, yes, we firmly believe that this particular group's methodology and way, together with what the question marks that have arisen with regard to how and what has happened, as Mawlana has made mention of, we believe is harmful and is a distortion of Islam. I will go on to make mention with regard to it. Just consider this aspect. Just consider this aspect. 1 year ago, the media, the world media, the focus of attention of governments, the focus of attention of people's conversation across the faith spectrum was with regard to what is happening in Gaza. Is what is happening with regard to the oppression that was meted out against the innocent and defenseless people of Gaza and Palestine. Today, in every country of the world, even in those countries where Muslims are in a minority, in a place situation like South Africa where Muslims might be 2 or 3%, the focus of the media, the focus of the government is no upon what Israel is doing in Gaza. The focus of the entire world, the focus of governments, whether it be in UK, whether it be in France, whether it be in South Africa, is the Muslims as a third force in their own country. Is this a fact or not? Our governments are starting to look at their own Muslim people who have been born and bred here as people as third forces. Surely we should be able to look at what is happening here. So I think this particular aspect to start off with is that when we speak out against a group, it is not with regard or in any way trying to say that we are in favor of the status quo or in favor of the oppression that is meted out by the oppressors of this world against Palestine, against Afghanistan, against Iraq and other places in the world. Another aspect is we cannot fall. While we do have our hurt with regard to what is happening, we cannot fall for every slogan or every aspect on the basis of emotion. Let us look at, because of this vacuum of leadership that has emerged within the Muslim community in the form of no Khilafat, no central Muslim leadership. And yes, central Muslim leadership is something that we all vie for, we all want. Our ulama and our akabirin had fought with regard to it. Many people might not be aware, but during the time of the fall of the Ottoman Khilafat, when it became under threat, our ulama of Dioban, the administration of the Darul Uloom Dioban, sent the students home for 1 week to go and make collection for the restoration and the preservation of the Uthmani Khilafat. So this is our Akabirin's history. They wanted this particular Khilafat and central leadership to be maintained because they looked at it as a benefit. Obviously, it doesn't mean that when the conditions are not met, it doesn't mean that you are against the concept. Sometimes you believe in a concept, but you don't find the conditions that are there. Doesn't mean that you are against the concept. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقْتَهُ عَيْدِيَهُمَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا نَكَالًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. The person who steals, cut off his hands. But now we all know that that is part and parcel of the Quran. You and I believe in it. Because if you don't believe in it, you are not believing in the Quran. You don't believe in the Holy Quran, you cannot be a believer. But if the conditions are not met, you can't take that ayat and say, because of this ayat, if I find a person who is stealing the shoes outside the masjid, I'm going to cut off his hands. Surely you cannot do so. Because the conditions are not there with you to implement it. Another important point that I would just like to very briefly go on through the points is we should always bear in mind the importance and the objective of a peaceful and harmonious society. It is an objective of Islam. The peaceful and harmonious society to be established on this earth is an objective of Islam, which our beloved Nabi Karim ﷺ made tremendous effort for. When our beloved Nabi Karim ﷺ went for the sake of Umrah at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which led and concluded in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, go and look at the books of Sirah, how our beloved Nabi Karim ﷺ, how much effort he made for peace. Nabi Karim ﷺ even told the Sahaba and the companions, if today the people of Makkah were to put forward to me any type of proposal for the sake of peace, even if it seems apparently against the interests of Islam and the Muslims, apparently I've used this word deliberately, I will agree to that because I know that the benefits of peace. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of this peace, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said not once, 4 or 5 messages to the people of Makkah. He sent a message to the means of Bulayl ibn Warqa. He sends a message to the means of Urwa ibn Mas'ud. He sends a message to the means of Mutaras bin Hafs. He sends a message with regard to peace on the basis of Bulayl bin Al-Qama. All of them he sends messages with regard to it. On the occasion, just when they are about to sign the peace treaty. Part of that in the clause, one of the clauses of the peace treaty was this. That if any Muslim who is in the custody of the people of Makkah, and if he comes over to the Muslims, and he comes without the permission of his guardian, the Muslims will make him over back to the people of Makkah. Abu Jandal, who was the son of Suhail ibn Amr, who was busy negotiating the peace treaty, when he comes with his chains in front of the people of the Muslims, Muslims are inflamed. As it is, many of them were not happy because they were not going to be performing Umrah. So because of this, the emotions were raised. And then they see Abu Jandal in chains, coming to them and said, "Oh Muslims, help me out of this particular oppression." He's a son of Suhail ibn Amr. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Suhail, free your son. He wants to be a Muslim and he wants to be with us." Suhail ibn Amr said, "I will not free him. I will not sign this peace treaty until you make him over to us." Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looks at Abu Jandal and says, "Abu Jandal, make sabr. But for the sake of this peace, even this particular aspect, I will bear. Go back." And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam signs this peace treaty. Because although the people were emotionally aroused at that time, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew the objective. And can I tell you the objective? Can I tell you the reason? My dear respected brothers, when there is hostility and hatred, people will never see the beauty of your religion.
when there is hostility and hatred, people will never see the beauty of your religion. And do not allow a situation to come in this country or any other country of the world where hostility and hatred against Muslims becomes the order of the day. Because then people will not see your humility, people will not see your contribution, people will not see what you are doing, people will look at you with prejudice. Now look at after the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removed the hostility, removed the hatred, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, people used to regard the conquest of Makkah as a victory. Wallahi, we Sahaba used to regard the treaty of Hudaybiyah as a victory. So many people accepted Islam after the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah. In 2 years after the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, they did not accept Islam in the preceding 19 years of Islamic history. The reason is, hostility was removed, hatred was removed. When hatred was removed, people could see Islam for what it was. And if the plan of the enemies is for Muslims to be regarded as a third force in every place where they stay, then where will people look at the beauty of Islam? Where will people look at Muslims as people who have contributed to the society? They will look at you with hostility and hatred and never see the beauty of your religion. Another aspect with regard to this is that why you and I, we do know with regard to jihad. Jihad is something that, as Mawlana has made, al-jihad ma'adhi ila yawm al-qiyamah. But it has many manifestations. Just to give an example, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has made mention of a hadith which speaks about the virtue of going out in the path of Almighty Allah in jihad. He has made mention of that hadith under the chapter entitled Bab al-Mashi ila al-Masjid. Bab al-Mashi, the chapter of going for salah. In that, the virtue and reward of going for salah for the sake of Jummah. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has quoted a hadith which speaks about the virtue and reward of going out in jihad. So it has many manifestations. But of course, when we speak about jihad, we also speak about the aspect of jihad in terms of qital. There is no way that we can deny that. It is part and parcel of our faith. It is every Muslim's desire and objective that when we die for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that particular type of death. But remember that this particular aspect, that jihad is for the sake of zero tolerance for fasad, zero tolerance for corruption. It is the reason for jihad is to bring about peace. So in many ways, just to give you a short, we don't have the time to go into it, but just to give you a short, that the sword or in jihad, it is like the scalpel of the surgeon rather than the sword of an executioner. Jihad, the sword that is used in jihad, it is like the scalpel of the surgeon which uses it to remove malignant tumors and to remove things that are harmful in the body. It is not supposed to be like you do it with the intention of taking delight in taking people's lives. And one of the overall impressions, we don't have much time, especially the time when there are many, Mawlana Insa will follow, but one important point that I would like to also make mention is, what is the overall impression with regard to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a mercy unto humanity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, also took part in jihad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the forefront. Sahaba say, we used to regard that Sahabi as most brave, who used to be closest to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battlefield. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not like other leaders that gave the command with regard to jihad and then stayed in the background. When the Muslims were digging the trench, literally Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was digging the trench for them. One Sahabi said, the time when we came to look at our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of digging the trench, we saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered in dust while digging the trench. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, little while sleep overtook him once. While we were digging the trench, when he got up, he rebuked the Sahaba and said, why didn't you wake me up so that I could also participate and partake in digging the trench? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the overall impression was one of rahmat and mercy. Even the enemies, Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, who was an enemy, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened up the doors for him and he became a Muslim. And Safwan bin Umayyah, who sent someone to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him protection. Nabi Akram Sallallahu gave you protection. Safwan bin Umayyah sent someone to assassinate Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When the Nabi Sallallahu conquered Makkah, Safwan bin Umayyah obviously fled Makkah and Karbala. One person who was close to him, Umayr ibn Wahab, came to Nabi Akram Sallallahu and said, Ya Rasulullah, allow Safwan to see your conduct. Give him protection. Nabi Akram Sallallahu said, go, I have given protection to Safwan bin Umayyah. Umayr ibn Wahab said, Ya Rasulullah, he sent me to assassinate you. Who would believe that if I were to go and tell people that you have given, that you have given protection to Safwan bin Umayyah, who would believe it? Nabi Akram Sallallahu took off his turban, and Nabi Sallallahu gave it to Umayr ibn Wahab and said, Umayr, go give this to Safwan. And if anyone were to tell him that, or try to harm him from among the Muslims, let him show my turban. And on the base of the turban, I have given protection to Safwan bin Umayyah. Nabi Akram Sallallahu gave his turban to someone who had sent his own cousin to assassinate the Nabi of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the overall impression of this particular group? It is completely against that one of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam partook in jihad? The overall impression with regard to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was overall mercy, kindness, compassion, even after partaking in jihad. Why? Whereas the overall impression with regard to this particular group goes against that of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is one of brutality, which is the antithesis of the Mubarak objective of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And even on one occasion, when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because of what had happened in the Battle of Uhud, when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw his uncle, Abu Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, was body being mutilated, and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw other Sahaba ikram mutilated, just this thought came in Nabi Akram Sallallahu's heart, if I get an opportunity, I will do it likewise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, ليس لك من الأمر شيء أو يتوب عليهم أو يعذبهم فإنهم ظالمون. كفر بالمجد الله. It is not your fault. Whether Allah must punish those who have mutilated the body of Hamza, or whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive him. Is it not amazing that most of the people who were there in the forefront of mutilating the body of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, all of them accepted Islam? And then another mistake, and I will just conclude with this, another mistake people do is with regard to the signs of Qiyamah. Signs of Qiyamah, Morana is very beautifully mentioned with regard to the black flag, and Morana Muntaz has also made mention of it. We have already been bitten once with regard to trying to put time frames to the signs of Qiyamah. Why are we doing the same thing again? Why do we put time frames with regard to the signs of Qiyamah? The signs of Qiyamah are true, we believe in it. There is no need for us to put time frame with regard to it. It will happen in this era, or it will happen in this particular time. And of course, one important point is our youth are very, very valuable. And at this particular stage, we must put on record, we must put this concern that is out there for each and every member of this community and to the Ummah. At the present stage, there is a disconnect between elders and youth. Let us acknowledge that. There is a disconnect between us and our youth. We are not speaking the same language. We are not understanding one another. It reminds me of a situation where one day a school teacher was teaching and giving an example to a small child and teaching maths and said, take this two apples and another apple. How many apples do you have? 2 plus 1. And every time the student was saying, I got 4 apples. But the school teacher was saying, yes, 2 years, another one. You're supposed to have 3, the answer is supposed to be 3. Every time the teacher is trying to explain this seemingly easy solution to this math problem, the student was saying 4. When the teacher impressed upon, what are you saying? He said, I got 1 apple in my bag, so I got 4 apples. This is our situation, we are not understanding our youth. Until we do not understand our youth, there's 2 ways. Yes, we do understand that youth are supposed to show respect to the elders. He would have not shown respect to the elders, not one of us. Maybe we are not worthy of respect. So Allahu A'lam. But also there is another aspect, compassion to the young. Just as respect to the elders is part and parcel of this woman, in a similar manner, showing compassion to the youth, understanding the challenges, understanding the mindset. They look at things black and white, they don't look at things grey. Sometimes this aspect of, we will deal with get in different shades of brain or in different ways. In this particular aspect, let us make a firm commitment that we are going to try to connect with the youth. We are going to try and understand them, and we are going to speak with them, we are going to engage with them. Because wallahi azeem, this very same youth, we've got two strands of youth. On one hand, we have those who sometimes are oblivious of the commands of Almighty Allah. Sometimes we have those who try to understand the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must go to the other extreme. But when these youth come upon the right path, wallahi, they will make that ibadat, they will be the envy even of angels. But that remains our challenge to be able to engage them constructively. May Allah give us the understanding wa akhiru da'wah.
The very bounce up of the Zulu, the most beautiful, very, very informative, and spiritually illuminating discourse. May Allah SWT give us the tawfiq to understand, especially the hot-headed brothers, with a message of mercy and kindness in Islam. Mawlana has highlighted that Rasulullah SAW's seerah and his way of life brought kuffar to Islam. Shouldn't have to chase away Muslims from Islam and put them in the fold of kufr because of our evil activities. I am going to call upon Hazrat Maulana Ridwan Khadisa to speak to our youth inshallah, and also to introduce his Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Muntazirul Ali to the audience.
This is just a very short message. Allah has blessed us all with a Quran, a loving Quran, unique Quran, a Quran that speaks to every individual, every community, and it speaks at the time of every fitna in the most unique way. The indications that we can take from Quran with regards to this that has arisen, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam and Yusuf alayhi salam's incident, we learnt of it in madrasa. When the brothers came to Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, after having put Yusuf alayhi salam in the well, they presented the cloth covered with blood. Yaqub alayhi salam, he taught the Ummah a message that whenever you will see blood, don't let your emotions go high. He looked behind the blood at the cloth and he said, this is a very unique wolf that bit my son, but it never scratched the cloth. He gave a message that when blood will be shown on the international media, don't fly. Look behind. The group that we call ISIS, it sprang to international fame because of blood. It was one knife on one man's throat, and as the knife moved, the whole world saw blood. Whoever looked beyond the blood, the next day would write that this was the most amazing execution that ever took place. Because as the knife moved through the most delicate skin of man, blood never came out. As he moved, he moved, he moved, there was no blood. The next picture the world saw was a man covered with blood. Whoever wrote that question, how come blood never came out? The international agencies of the world covered that investigation as the investigation of 911 was covered. Yaqub alayhi salam, later on in his life, when Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam will come in front and everyone will calling him mad, thinking of your son Yusuf, but he smelled a conspiracy from the beginning. So he would say, didn't I tell you I know from Allah what you don't know? It took them years and years to realize the blood that they saw was not real blood. But the man who was blessed with intelligence, where he saw it. The second verse on which I will end, Allah Ta'ala speaks, and the verse of Quran is unique. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. In every era, there will be times when a matter will be blown. And when it is blown, a matter that makes everyone scared or a matter that makes everyone happy, أَذَاعُوا بِهِ, there will be certain people who will go out of their way to spread it. How we will spread it today, one click of the button, and the whole world will be أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says they should not do that. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. If only the people at that moment could think, let me go and see what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said.
And if he hasn't got that ability, وَإِلَىٰ أُولِ الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ, let me go and see what the people who are in a spot to issue a verdict or to say. لَعَلِّمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِّتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Then you will find amongst the intellectual, amongst the ulama, amongst the sulaha, there will be those unique masters who will be able to scratch on the surface and take out the water, the reality from within. Thereafter when you take it out, لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِّتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. Almighty Allah says their fitnas and the conspiracies of shaitan are such that had it not been for the system of the creating of unique ulama to tell you what to do when you're in a problem, majority of the believing world would have fell into the trap of shaitan. We are standing today protected because Allah Ta'ala has created this roof. Anbas Allama Qurtubi Rahimullah says, وَفِيهِ حَتْفٍ. In this year Allah Ta'ala is giving tarheeb لِمَنْ بِتَرْكِ, that the man who does not know, he must leave لِمَنْ يَعْلَمْ, for the man who knows, لِيَسْتَمِّتَهُ وَبِمَعْرِفَتِهِ, that he will investigate. فَإِذَا عَرَفَ, when he will recognize the truth, عَرَّفَهُمْ, he will tell the whole world the truth. مَا وَجَبَ تَعْرِفُ, how much they need to know. وَنَحْيَا, and Allah Ta'ala is warning man who hasn't got the ability, عَنِ الْإِسْتِنْبَاطِ بِالْتَخْمِينِ وَالنَّذَرِ. But don't use your own logic. Don't go to Sheikh Google and say, I got the answer. Because Sheikh Google, he got khilafat from shaitan directly. He is nobody else's khalifa. Unless Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now explains, who will you go to? اتَّقُوا خِرَاسَةً تُؤْمِن. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah Ta'ala has created a light in the hearts of believers. With that light they see things which you don't see. اتَّقُوا خِرَاسَةً تُؤْمِن. Watch out for the foresight of a believer. فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. Anas radiallahu anhu will explain it with this words, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عِبَادًا. Almighty Allah has created such servants. يَعْرِفُونَ النَّاسَ بِالتَّوَسُّمْ. They are able to smell a rat. This Baghdadi is the rat that the ulama have smelled. And finally, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quoted from Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu with a sahih sanad, he said, أَلْبَرَكَةُ مَعَا أَكَادِرِكُمْ. That if you want goodness in your life, then remain under the shadow of your akabir. Allah Ta'ala for the conscious of the
JazakumAllah. Mawla in a very, very short speech has given us the ocean of knowledge. MashaAllah, may Allah reward you, may Allah SWT increase your knowledge, and may Allah SWT give us tawfiq to understand and practice. I am going to call upon Hazrat Mawlana Ash-Shah, the senior Khalifa Hazrat Aqeem Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat has his lot of activities, work. You must be thinking Hazrat is running a khanqa or is running a darul room, but Hazrat's knowledge and his foresight and his understanding of the affairs of the world is also unique. We are going to call upon Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Nishar Sahib Mutasifatul Ali to enlighten us on this very, very important subject. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Ulama who are present and those who know Arabic might wonder what connection is this ayat got with our subject of tonight. But for that, a few words by way of introduction. That firstly, I'm not sitting here to tell you what to do, what not to do. From our experience, we know everyone has what he wants. The ulama will say, gave guidelines, but finally everyone does. You go home and you say, in this house you do what I say. And the ulama, Maulana said that. How many of our friends say to, they say to their father,
that Hazrat said this, but you don't follow. The father says to the son, Hazrat said this, but you're not listening. So, but we will, our duty is to say what we have to say. And for that, we are not saying that those people who are for this group ISIS, that they are in the right, and those who are against them are in the wrong. Or the other way around, that those who are against them, they are in the right, and that ISIS is in the wrong. This is such a confusing thing. And politics has always been, and since 9/11, so confusing, you will find so many conspiracy theories. The more you try and find out, as Malana Rivan said from Sheikh Google, the more you get confused. You don't know what is what, where, what is what. However, and those who are for ISIS, they should look at the things that are negative about ISIS and consider them. And those who are against ISIS should look at the positive things and consider them. From the little bit, and I don't have to say this, MashaAllah, Maulana Shabbir has made it so clear that it is the pluses and the minus. The minus are so many more than what the pluses could be. And there are doubts and certainties, the doubts are much more. There are questions and answers, and the questions are much more than the answers. So it appears quite clear that this group has been misled, or there are a stooge group for a bigger. Today, remember one thing that makes a lot of sense to me, it will make to you, of all this conspiracy theories and politics of the world, it's a triangle philosophy. Like a triangle you have, right at the top is Shaitan. He gives instructions to those below him. And what his objects are, they also don't know. He puts a beautiful picture in front of them of helping mankind, of being good to mankind. Today the worst is done to mankind in the most beautiful words. They are being destroyed totally. That group again, that triangle becomes broader. What they are telling the group below than those leaders, they don't know what are the objectives of those who are on top of them. They are being also blood, and it comes right down the bottom. So the people who are maybe sincere, they are not. As Maulana Shabbir Sahib, Dawud Barakatuh explained, how we have got a lot of jazba in Fatin, and this is nothing else but the malika of Allah. At a time like this in our lives, that our youth still have so much of jazba, but they don't know that how they are being manipulated, how they are being misused and abused by those who are above them, and they are taking them in wrong direction. So anyway, that can be open for dialogue and for debate. But it is quite clear from our ulama that we understand this group is a totally deviated group and misleading the Muslims, or they are doing it the jahul arifana. They know the wrong they are doing, but they are misleading people. They are agents for somebody who is higher and above them. So that we are going to go into that discussion also. What I would like to say is from a different angle, perhaps a complete different angle. If it makes sense to you, you will accept it. If it doesn't make sense, you will reject it. And first of all, I'll quote an example of Mufti Taqi Usman Sahib Rahmatullah. He says that, and this is true, that those who are for ISIS, who are against ISIS in our circles, not the other people who know more about it. We all want Islam to come in the world. Everyone. That is why people are going there. They have in their opinion that we go there, Islam, the Islamic Khilafat is going to come, it's going to spread in the world, and Islam is going to come alive in the world, no more differences. They have got that jazba. So they want Islam. Those who are against it, they also feel that this is not the right route we are taking. This is not going to bring Islam. Every Muslim has got one out of Islam, Iman in his heart. He wants Islam to be in the world. So for that, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Dawud Barakatuh says, as you want Islam in the world, you want Islam in your country, is you are one country yourself also. Every individual is a country on his own. And there are many departments and many provinces of this country. The province of the brain, the province of the eyes, ears, tongue, hands, legs, heart, everything. These are all different provinces. And you are the president of this country. And lifelong president. Not 5 years, president. You are president lifelong. And to become the president, you didn't have to fight an election. You didn't have to make false promises. And you are the president. And in your government of this body of yours, you have no opposition in your parliament. You are a president, you have no opposition. So you want Islam to come alive in the world. So in your country, bring Islam in your eyes, bring Islam in your tongue, bring Islam in your hands, legs, heart, mind. Every person does this, Islam is in the world. We don't need elections, we don't need an army, we don't need a huge amount of money budget, we don't need computers, we don't need an army. Everyone and everyone wants to, but the problem is we are not sincere to ourselves. We are bluffing ourselves. We are saying we want Islam. If you really want, bring Islam in your eyes. See how, what Islam told us to look. Look like it. Talk, use your tongue. How we use our tongue with our wives. How terribly we speak over them. How we shout at them. How we swear at them. How we accuse them. Bring Islam in your tongue. Bring Islam everywhere. And Islam is in the world. Another little example I'll give before we carry on. Little children from preschool already, they are given drawing books and they have to color in all pictures. So for example, they are given a lion and you must color in the lion. Small children, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and they are naughty and they want to show their bravery. They picture lion, they color it in, and they take a knife and gouge out the eyes of the lion. See how brave I am. Lion can't do me anything. They take a scissor and cut off the tail of the lion. What can the lion? It's a picture lion. What can a picture lion? One is a lion that is in a zoo. He's a living lion. But he's in a cage. There also it's written, don't interfere with the lion, don't throw stones, etc. But small children are small children. I'm so brave, I'm right by the lion, I can throw stones, the lion can't do anything. Take a stick and push it into by the lion. Lion can't do anything. He's a lion in a cage, he's living. And one is a lion in the jungle. When trying to interfere with that lion, even from a distance, and see how it will leap 10 meters, 15 meters, and how it will land on you, and what it will do to you. Today, we should understand what is happening in the world, whether it is ISIS, whether it is Boko Haram, whether it is the Pakistani Taliban, whether it is the Shabab, these are all what today we are, just pictures, picture lines. And we can't do a thing in the world. We are manipulated by the higher in the triangle. By the higher forces we have been manipulated. And we have been made to believe that we are doing a great service of need. Or our palms have been greased very well. Or our pockets are becoming heavy with dollars. So we are doing whatever we are doing. But we are just picture lions. Unfortunately, sadly, I myself am definitely of them. And most of us are amongst those picture lions. We can't do a thing against the enemy. One was the time when Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, one man alone, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ayyan Qusuddin wa Abu Bakr Hayy, they were not picture lions, they were real lions. Then there are those living lions in the Ummah today, but they are in cages. They haven't got the freedom to do what they want to do. If I want to go for Umrah, I can't do it without taking a photo. Though I'm against it, but I've got no choice. I have to take a photo and ask Allah to make me mask. I want to take out the passport and travel, I have to take out the photo. There are so many things which I have to do. There are many people who are living lions, the picture of the lions in the cage. May Allah bring that day, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Kandilvi Rahmatullah Alayh, one ijtima, people say Tabligh work has spread so much, and that wise and hidayat coming in the world, etc. He said, I want 313 real lions. I want three, and I haven't got once. And this is what we have to do. And this is what is the effort of the Sawwaf and Islam, that a person, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gives a beautiful example from the Masnavi of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah. He says, if there is a cat, old cat, almost dying for it also, so weak, and there are 50 mice around, rats, and they got sharp teeth, and they pass a law, they make a parliament meeting, And we say the snake is always struggling us and eating us. Now we are going to attack the snake. We are 50. The cat is only one. And 5, 6 may appoint those who will go and attack, who will go to the throat of the cat. Others will go to the eyes. Others will go to the legs. Others will go to the stomach. Tear it apart. Take out everything from inside. And we win the war on paper. And this is what the military people of the world are doing. On their draft boards and the paper, everything looks very well. But the power of Iman, they didn't take that into account. And this is that power of Iman which is in everyone's heart here. It is just necessary that we have to make it more stronger. Then one person will become, who will stand up as Khalid ibn Walid today. One Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that person will put the world right. In fact, the West themselves says, give us an Umar today and we will put the world right. The material of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is with everyone. So that is what is necessary, that we have. So our Shaykh Al-Qadari says that that cat has got the heart of a cat. It's not going to forget mice. One, this one, we meow. And all the cats and all the programs they made and all the logistics they did, all finished shelf and they will be all scattering in all directions. So that is the one Allah Akbar of a movement. But if we have to accept heart, we will see. So this is what is required. Look, to go for jihad is as Mahana Shafir, Dalat Barakatum explained. This is part of our deen, and we have to be in deen from Alif to Ya, from A to Z, from La ilaha illallah to all ibadat, mu'amalat, and everything. This is the name of jihad. And until jihad, we have to go there. But we have to do it, and don't put the horse, don't put the cart in front of the horse. And do things in the right way. What is the right way? For example, namaz. We have to make namaz. You are late, Fajr, you got up. You only got 2 minutes. You say, should I make it without wuzu? I'm late. The namaz won't be made. Well, if they make it qada, it will be accepted. But you have to make your wudu. Any other, everything has to be in order. Whatever we do, so jihad is also there. And as, mashallah, the ulama have explained, there is a system, there are conditions, there are limitations. It has to be done in that series. From that, from this ayat, I wish to explain that how necessary it is that we follow this process. There is an ayat of the Quran Sharif, and as our Shaykh Maulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahimahumullah used to say, it's a royal prescription. Allah has given you this prescription. And just to keep us in focus, the end of the ayat is فَنْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, that we all know that we must overpower the non-believers. And just hope that Allah has given us the prescription how we will overpower the non-believers. So what is the first thing that Allah says? That you ask me, وَعَفُ عَنَّا. In other words, make tawbah, change your life. Umhu أَعْتَارَ ذُنُوبِنَا. Oh Allah, you yourself, rub out the signs of our guna. That not a single guna is left. And every person commits a sin, there are 4 witnesses, 4 evidence against him. The hands and legs that you use, the parts of the body to commit the sin. The place that he commits the sin on. And then, Kiram and Katibin, who record that sin of his. And all this is posted, just like a proper accounting system, into the Namai Amar record of deeds. And before it is recorded, it is seen whether the hands, the evidence is exactly the same as the piece of ground that gave evidence. And the Kiram and Katibin's evidence, when it's all correct, now there is nothing, no dispute. It is recorded. So that is the first that is given. And when a person makes sincere tawbah, changes his life, which is a first essential for the jihad. And it's not just jihad, we are committing zina. We are on porn, we are going like men, addicted to porn. We are going to nightclubs, and now we are going to jihad also. No, you have to first. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was on top of that non-believer kafir, and the person spat in his face, his akhlaq was of that level, and control of his anger was at that level. So that Islam was made, that he left him alone. That now I won't be doing it for my, for less pleasure, my ego. and she spanked my face. How can I tolerate that? Because of that I will kill him. So for this, preparation has to be made. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not use the word jihad for 13 years in Makkah Sharif. There was no question. It was the time of making Islam, of building the Iman, of building the Akhlaq. All this was built. Then when they went to Medina to Munawwara, then the Battle of Badr, etc., everything started from there. But first they had to be made. In India, they were, we are going through conditions here, and Allah rewarded the Muslims of Rushni, Maulana Mansur al-Aqsa and his colleagues, and all the friends of Rushni who are so concerned. There is a sign of our Iman. And we want direction. We want direction from the ulama. Please come and tell us what must we do. There is a very, very great quality. May Allah increase this quality all the time. And let it not falter in any way. We have to follow and follow the ulama. From birth we follow them. Right till janata namaz. We need the ulama. In jannah we need the ulama also. So anyway, when in India there was this situation when the British were ruling, and the plan behind the screen was to make every person a Christian in India. Our ulama stood up for jihad. And also, at a later time, on another occasion, the people who were, we were called modernists, liberal people, they also became very concerned. And they made a delegation and came to Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi. And they said, Hazrat, jihad has to be started now. And you are the perfect person who will be our leader. You be our leader in this jihad. Maulana made a three conditions. Of the one condition, for 10 years, no word of jihad. First, your Islam has to be made. Namaz must come in our lives. We must look like Muslims. We must deal like Muslims. Everything else. And then the major part of jihad, the greatest jihad is jihad of your nafs. رَجَعْنَا مِنَا الْجِهَادِ الْأَسْرَرِ إِلَى جِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ. The greatest jihad is of the nafs. That is first. Then other jihad will be a walkover. The conquest of Mecca was a walkover for the Muslims, and the world can't produce another second to the conquest of Mecca, when not one blood of drop was spread, Muslim blood, or anyone's blood, was not, it wasn't made to flow. And today what we see, as Maulana Rizwan also explained, just blood, everywhere. And a person gets very affected when he sees blood. So there not one drop of blood was to make to flow. So this is what is then required. First hour, we make tawbah. After wa'afu anna, then the Quran says, Sharif says, wa'afir lana. And forgive us. If you ask the first year Arabic student, second year, you say, wa'afu anna, wa'afir lana, no difference. You forgive us. Then the Quran doesn't duplicate. There is another meaning. Allah rewards. Allah ma'alusi rahmatullah alayhi. And what a beautiful explanation. He says, now wa'afir lana, bisatri al-qabir, wa izhari al-jameel. My past was a rotten past. It was a terrible past. But when you have forgiven Allah, and you have destroyed my files, not from Supreme Court, not from the world court in the Hague, but you have destroyed my files by you in your court. Now, oh Allah, hide my past. And this we see, if you speak of Husayn ibn Iyad, rahmatullahi, you speak about Malik ibn Dinar, rahmatullahi, to no one's mind their past comes. Allah is buried. If you dig a little, you'll see what their past was. And it's not good, it's not necessary. Sometimes just to understand, look at the how Allah will lead away their past. And at the way, Ishaar and Jameel, what a great huzur. So Allah made them like that. Warhamna. And oh Allah, now after that, you shower your mercies upon us. Rahmat. Warhamna. And what a tafsir Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi is made of warhamna. Ay tafadwal alayna bi fununil a'la. Oh Allah, you bless us. And tafadwal tada is like what we will say in our language, bansera. Something for nothing, but we don't deserve. We haven't got anything to pay for it. Just out of your mercy, tafadwal alayna bi fununil a'la. all types of rahmat, mercies. See the houses of Roshan, see the gardens of Roshan, and see the food that we are eating, see the grass that we are driving. Allah Ta'ala, what God types. Look at our masjid, comfortable. Big masjids everywhere. The whole world, Allah is blessing us. Well, this is Allah's ma'a istiftatina bi afanin iltifat. Why? In actual fact, we are worthy and we deserve the worst punishment. Funu is a plural in Arabic. In Arabic you have a singular, a dual, a plural, and then the great plural. There are four numbers in Arabic. In English, singular and plural finish. But in Arabic, singular, dual, plural, and the great plural. So here we have, you bless us with all in the plural, what your mercies of all types and from all sides, in spite of the fact that we are worthy of the more greater punishment of us. And that is Allah Subhanahu. So merciful. Now when we have done this, Allah reward our share to protesters and Allah Ma'alusi, what great people Allah has produced. Then, after this now, Anta Mawlana, wa hamna Anta Mawlana. Those who know Arabic, many ulama are sitting here, that in wa'adu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, the zameer, the pronoun, is not made to open. Not Anta ta'fu anna, not Anta ighfir lana, not Anta irhamna, though that is not mentioned there. Why we were in the darkness of sin? Why we were in the darkness of being distant and away from Allah? Like in English, just to understand it quickly, I tell somebody, come. I only said come. I didn't say you come. But you is mentioned, is meant there. Either the noun or the pronoun, Ismail come. Or you come. But I just said come. You understand? Go. You go. The pronoun is not mentioned. So in the first three words, the pronoun, the name of Allah, Anta Mawlana, Anta was not mentioned. Because we were far from Allah. We were in sin. We were rotten. We were pale. We were in the darkness all the time. Now when you make this Doba, you corrected your life. And Doba means al-wujud, to reverse. From your pale life you reverse. So this is the first condition of jihad. First that we make Doba, we become Muslims first. And if we don't, then you find Muslim killing Muslim, and we calling it jihad. Muslim raping Muslim woman, and we calling it jihad. That is not jihad. Jihad is against the non-believers. Now you come Anta Mawlana. Now you came into the light that, oh Allah, you are our Mawlana. You Sayyidu Umurina, Sayyidu Mutawalliyu Umurina, wa Sayyiduna, you are our master, you are our leader. Now we came out of the dark like a son who has done wrong to his father, and lot of wrong. Now he wants to come in the good books of the father. He first tells the mother, you is the sheep. You speak to my daddy. He tells his auntie, his father. He tells his boy, you will speak to my father. And now he's happy, now you come forward. So we first ask all that forgiveness. Now Allah has become happy. Now we come in front of Allah, Anta Mawlana. Then comes the time, Mansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. It's the tartib of the Quran Sharif. It isn't that we are in vice and sin, just today challenge everything. Today our nature, I don't know about other countries, South Africa. We go for Hajj also as a challenge, going on motorbike for Hajj. Going on backpackers, and they are going for Hajj. Maybe it's a challenge. Many of us, we go in Jamaat, not with the idea of Tabligh Jamaat, but it's a challenge. Ijtima, you stand out of the bayan all the time. Three-quarter of the crowd is outside there all the time. But just that environment, the challenge, everything. Hajj, Umrah we go. And other people, other country people, look at South Africans, please take note of this. What is the view of others? That South Africans, how they depict them? That there are those people who are on the third floor of the restaurant of Bin Dawood with their sunglasses on. That is the South African Umrah person. Hey, this is the impression they are given. Hey, that what is the Umrah maker today? That restaurants all the time, and shopping all the time, malls all the time. Is that what is Umrah? No. So don't make jihad also like that. It's a very sacred institution. It's a very great institution. Don't play around with jihad. And just a challenge will go there also. Jihad on its time and it will come. And inshallah it will come. It must come. Then may Allah accept each one of us. And these very ulama will come to your houses and make you pack your bags and go for jihad. And they will go with you and lead you inshallah. But when the time comes. So my dear brothers, don't just fall for anything. Everything that glitters is not gold. Eh? That, and all the gold is not there what we see. The gold is there with ISIS. Where it's coming from, Allah. Eh? The amount of wealth they have got, the amount of weapons they have got, the amount of whatever they want they have got, women they have got, whatever they want they have got, and how suddenly, just out of the blue, suddenly the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria came into existence. And it came and it was full stop. And then nothing else. It's a whole pre-planned thing. So don't just fall for anything. And this is out of compassion. As Maulana Mansur al-Haq Sahib Jazamullah Khair said, we are not here to run down anyone. We are not here to stop anyone. And in fact, I myself am not here to say who's right and who's wrong. That Allah knows, and politics has become such a difficult subject. But there are few things which are very glaring and very clear. So please have mercy on yourselves. Have mercy on your parents. Have mercy on everyone. We are not here to please the state or state organizations. We are not here to please ISIS and their supporters. We are here, inshallah, biiznillah, to please Allah and to say what is to be said for the pleasure of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah enlighten us properly on this matter. Do things carefully and in all matters. Fas'alu ahla dhikri. Ask the people of zikr, which means the people of knowledge. That those people of knowledge who have got zikr also, who have got consciousness of Allah Ta'ala also, who have got connection with Allah, may Allah guide us to righteousness. And I'm very surprised to see this jalsa under mashallah, under Maulana Mansur al-Haq Sahib going perfectly according to time. I thought it was impossible, but may Allah accept inshallah and make us sincere in all our matters. Those who are gone, the parents make not a dua, the duas of the parents are readily accepted, and try whatever means you can have to try and get your children back again in a safe way. It's a dangerous game. Those who are gone, it's so dangerous, you can't get out. You just face problem after problem. So the others be warned to have those who have gone, make not a dua, and one very effective way of dua as the ulama to make. And also one person, a lady, wrote to me, what an important point, when she heard one of the bayans about duas in Medina Sharif where they are accepted. She said, there's one more place. And where is that? Mawaja Sharif. At the front of the Rosa and the Bara. She explained, I'll just give you quickly, inshallah, there was a Tabligh Ijtima many years ago in Masjid al-Nur, which was the Markaz. Those days, 300 people came for Ijtima. In Mashallah, they decided by Fazl Azim, he was in charge of the catering, he must see to the food. And Hazrati put this condition, Rahmatullah Ali, you're not allowed to ask anyone for 1 riyal. You must see to everything, you're not allowed to ask anyone for chanda and make collection. He did everything, he took loans from the shopkeepers, he did everything. Ijtima finished and he promised them so and so data would pay. Haji would come, he only comes with his own expense, maybe little he's got extra. He hasn't got the money to pay. He went to show Rosa and Mubarak. He said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my haqidah and belief is you are alive in your time. And what I say, you are listening to me. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was your treasure in your time. And he took loans on your behalf from Jews also. And when the time to pay and he did not have, he came to you and said, oh Allah's Nabi, make dua. We have to meet this commitment. And we haven't got the money. By your dua, every commitment was met on each time. I also got commitment. Please, make dua. So then he went. The little money he had enough to pay the person who supplied rice. He went to him, yes, your rice man. See, you're playing the fool with me, you're testing me, you're trying me out. Why? What's wrong? See, you paid me yesterday, and now what you again? I want to pay. He went to the person of the meat.
He said, here's your money, because now his money got saved. He said, you're playing the game with me, you're testing me, you're trying me out. Yesterday you came and paid me, your account is sorted out. Why? Everybody was sorted out. So Dua and Rosa and Mubarak, instead of going to Vrindavan's restaurants, and instead of wearing some classes, go to Rosa and don't take photos. Don't leave your way. Speak, make your the water, Mubarak, place Allah is given us. If the family committed crime, if they did it in innocence, Allah will forgive. But if they did it knowingly, and especially if they knew that ISIS is not right, ISIS is wrong, then of course it's a crime. But if they thought ISIS is right, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will guide them. But you will verify things. In our simple things of dunya, you buy a car, you don't go and buy a car without the engine. You make sure it's got on. You can see it hasn't got wheels in the back. You don't buy a car like that. We very so these are more important matters. How should we treat those members that have returned? Are they an outcast from our community? No. Try and wean them closer and try and explain them the errors that we have made. And they are so glaring. And there are so many records of people who went who have become so disillusioned of what has happened. Explain this to them. Get them into the mainstream again. Let them understand. And let us be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana.
Amir Sahib Muntazirul Ali, we are not Muntazirul Haq. So, Maharabhub, I think, is a way of remembering my big brother, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's in our hearts all the time. So, good, very good. Hazrat has given us, mashallah, spiritually also, from Anta point of view, Waqu Anna, Waqu Lana, and Adama Al-Musi Baghdadi Ramadullah, exactly as our other Sheikh. Hakim after some of the Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, Mawlana has taken his seat, mashallah, and has done justice to tafsir also and to the explanation also. At the end, Mawlana has explained to us the IS, whatever it is, those who have taken part in it, may Allah give them according to their niyat, whatever they went with. But after knowing the reality, they must now think very, very carefully. I am going to ask Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Razaul Haq Sahab to end our program with his advice and also with dua from him, inshallah. Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Razaul Haq Sahab from Pakistan, now is a Sheikh of Hadith, Darul Uloom Zakaria, for many, many years teaching Hadith, and many, many years he has been teaching Tafsir, and is a great Mufti of South Africa now, while he was a great Mufti of Pakistan once upon a time. We are going to listen to his advice and then he's going to make dua and we'll join inshallah with him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Atri'u Allah wa atri'u al-Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. Muhammad ulama ikram. آپ کے سامنے علماء کرام کے بیانات تقریریں اور جس مقصد کے لیے یہ جلسہ منعقد ہوا تفسیر کے ساتھ بیان کیا گیا. مجھ سے کہا گیا کہ میں بھی چند الفاظ آپ کو سناؤں اور کہہ دوں. آیت کریمہ مختصر میں نے پڑھی. اس موضوع پر پہلی بھی بیان ہوا. اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ فرماتے ہیں اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ اور رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی تابعداری کرو اور اولو الامر کی تابعداری کرو. مفسر میں تفسیر خازن نے ابن کثیر نے در منصور نے سب تفسیروں میں لکھا ہے کہ اولو الامر سے مراد بڑے بڑے علماء فقہا اور وہ حضرات ہے کہ قوم نے جن کے ہاتھ میں اپنی زمام اور اپنی بات دے دی ہو وہ اولو الامر میں شامل ہیں. حکام بھی ہے لیکن یہ بھی شامل ہیں. اس ملک میں الحمدللہ شروع سے علماء کرام محنت کر رہے ہیں, بڑی محنت اور مشقت فرمائی ہے. وہ علماء کرام جس طرح آپ حضرات سے کہتے ہیں اور آپ سے درخواست کرتے ہیں اور آپ سے فرمائش کرتے ہیں, آپ حضرات کو ان کی باتیں ماننا چاہیے. اس جلسے میں اس ملک کے چیدہ چیدہ بڑے بڑے چنیدہ علماء کرام موجود ہیں. حضرت مولانا عبد الحمید صاحب دامت برکاتہ، حضرت مولانا شفیق صاحب، حضرت مولانا خان، یہ اس ملک کے مختلف تنظیموں کے بڑے بڑے حضرات ہیں، مدارس کے سرپرست ہیں. ان حضرات نے جو درخواست آپ سے فرمائی ہے، نوجوان ہو، خواتین ہو، لڑکیاں ہو، بوڑھے ہو، سب کو ان فرمودات اور ان نصیحتوں کو ماننا چاہیے اور ان پر چلنا چاہیے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اور حضرت مفتی صاحب نے ریسائٹڈ فور اس این آیت اینڈ ہی سیز لاٹ آف علماء کرام ہیز گیون یو ویری 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 گڈ ایڈوائس آلریڈی بٹ ہی سیز بیکاز آئی ہیو بین ریکویسٹڈ سو آئی ایم گوئنگ ٹو سے فیو ورڈز. حضرت نے ریسائٹڈ دی آیت یا ایھا الذین آمنوا اطیعوا اللہ واطیعوا الرسول واولی الامر منکم. او بلیورز، obey Allah and Rasul of Allah and the people of Amr amongst you. Hazrat Mufti Sahib says, if you see all the Mufassireen, big Mufassireen like Khazin, Ibn Kathir and many others, when you listen to them, they will tell you Ulil Amr means Ulama-e Kiram, and also some of them say the rulers. Obey Allah, obey Rasul of Allah and obey the Ulama, the people who, in whose hand the matters have been given. Ulama-e-Kiram are the people, even in South Africa, the Muslim community has been always listening to them because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana says, tonight we have seen a selection of great Ulama-e-Kiram who have spoken to you. They are sitting here in this masjid. They are giving you an advice as male, female, big, small, everybody must listen to them, and inshallah if you are going to listen to this advice and practice, you will be successful.
تو اس کو دنیا میں حضرت معاویہ رضی اللہ عنہ کے زمانے میں اس کو دنیا کا مطلب استنبول، اس کے قریب لشکر پہنچا تھا. اس لشکر میں بڑے بڑے صحابی، اونچے درجے کے صحابی شامل تھے، حضرت ابو ایوب انصاری، حضرت ابن عمر رضی اللہ عنہ، حضرت حسین رضی اللہ عنہ، اور لشکر کے کمانڈر چیف تھے یزید ابن معاویہ. چونکہ ان کو بڑا بنایا گیا تھا تو حضرت ابو ایوب انصاری نے اپنی وفات سے پہلے لمبا قصہ ان کی وفات کا یہ وصیت فرمائی کہ جب میرا انتقال ہو جائے تو مجھے استنبول اور دنیا کی دیوار کے قریب جہاں تک لے جا سکتے ہو لے جاؤ. اور دوسری بات یہ ہے کہ میرا جنازہ یزید ابن معاویہ پڑھائے گئے، کیونکہ وہ امیر تھے، امیر بنائے گئے تھے.
Allah says that in the time of Sayyidina Muawiyah رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ when he was a ruler and امیر المومنین, he sent an army to conquer Turkey, Constantinople, Istanbul. In that army, the leader of the army was Yazid ibn Muawiyah, Muawiyah's son Yazid. He was the Amir of the army. And in that group of fighters, there were many Sahaba Ikram. Notable amongst them were many, but Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari, radiallahu ta'ala, was a famous person. He was part of that contingent. And then he made a will that when I am going to pass away, then you are not going to take me anywhere, but you bury me closest to the city of Constantinople. And the Amir of contingent, whose name is Yazid ibn Muawiyah, who is the Amir of the army, he must lead my prayer. He is the Amir, he must become the Imam of my janaza prayer.
ایک اور مختصر بات کہوں، تین قسم کے نظام ہوتے ہیں. ایک ہے نظام قانونی، ایک ہے نظام اجتماعی، ایک ہے نظام انفرادی. نظام قانونی یہ کہ کسی ملک کا اسلامی نظام ہو، وہ پوری دنیا میں کسی جگہ نہیں، کسی ملک میں اسلامی نظام مکمل طور پر نہیں. سعودی عرب کے اندر بھی جو اپنے چل رہے ہیں وہاں سعودی نظام ہے، مکمل کسی جگہ نہیں. دوسرا نظام ہے نظام اجتماعی. نظام اجتماع یہ جمع کے لیے ہم جمع ہوتے ہیں, اجتماع کر سکتے ہیں, تبلیغ اجتماع کر سکتے ہیں, اصلاحی اجتماع کر سکتے ہیں, مدارس کھول سکتے ہیں, محافل کھول سکتے ہیں, اور کسی طرح میٹنگ اور مشورے کر سکتے ہیں, علماء کا مشورہ بلا سکتے ہیں, کوئی ریڈیو اسلام چالو کرنا چاہے یہ کر سکتے ہیں. یہ سارے کام اس کو اجتماعی کام کہتے ہیں. تیسرا ہے انفرادی نظام. انفرادی نظام نماز پڑھنا, روزہ رکھنا, عبادت کرنا, تلاوت کرنا, اپنے گھر میں زندگی گزارنا, یہ ہے انفرادی نظام. قانونی نظام دنیا میں کسی ملک میں اسلامی نہیں, مکمل طور پر. انفرادی نظام تقریباً اکثر جگہوں پر ہے. داڑھی کوئی رکھنا چاہے تو رکھ سکتا ہے, ہاں بعض ملکوں میں مشکلات ہوں, عبادت کر سکتے ہیں, تلاوت کر سکتے ہیں. اجتماعی نظام جیسے جلسہ کرنا ہے, اجتماع کرنا ہے, مدرسہ کھولنا ہے, خانقاہ کھولنا ہے, یہ الحمدللہ اس ملک میں ہم, ہمارے مسلمان اور ہمارے علماء کرام کر سکتے ہیں, جو بہت اسلامی ممالک میں بھی نہیں کر سکتے. یہ ملک گویا کہ بہت سے اسلامی ممالک سے اس معنی میں بہتر ہے, اس لیے اس کا شکریہ ادا کرنا چاہیے. اور اس کے شکریہ کا طریقہ یہ ہے کہ اس اسلامی حدود کے اندر رہتے ہوئے ہم قوانین اور اس ملک کے قانون کا احترام کریں, اور ایسا کام نہ کریں جس کی وجہ سے ہمارے لیے, ہماری اولاد کے لیے, دوسرے مسلمانوں کے لیے مشکلات پیدا ہو جائیں.
ماشاء اللہ, حضرت مودی صاحب has mentioned a very very important aspect, very very relevant to us living in South Africa. Allah says in the world there are systems. What is a legal system? Political legal system. Nowhere in the world is the Islamic system really applicable and applying and being implemented. Even including Saudi Arabia, where Islamic laws are just implemented partially, but not wholly. Wherever it suits them, they do it, but you can't say there is 100% Islamic rule in that country. And when it is not there, what else, where else we are going to find it? Right? So in that way, you don't find Islam implemented in any country to the 100% level. Then Mawlana says there is another system. It is a social and individual, collective and individual application of Islam and freedom of humanity, freedom of individual. If you look at that, people are free to practice their religion whichever way they want to. Especially in South Africa, Allah says that we are free to build our masjids, darul rooms, madrasas. There is an individual freedom. We can keep even beard. In other countries you might find problem, France, this, that, that. But here, alhamdulillah, you are free to keep beard. This lot of freedom has been given to us. We should be thankful to the people of this country and to the government of this country. They have given us such freedoms in this country which are not available in a lot of Muslim countries also. We are better off in this country than many other Muslim countries, and you are a witness to that. So, as a thankfulness to that and as a gratitude to that, we must not do something by which we create problems for this country also. This country is giving us lot of freedom, lot of goodness. We should be thankful to them by accepting their laws, by abiding their laws, which are not affecting our namaz and roza and zakat. Alhamdulillah, we are free. But we must not create a situation in which we put this country in any type of difficulty.
Qatar is a Muslim country. Dubai is a Saudi country, but it is not Qatar. There is no madrasa ki ijazat nahi. اب چند دن پہلے مسجد میں ایک چھوٹے سے مدرسے کی اجازت مل گئی, جو وہاں ہمارے دوست و احباب پہچاننے والے ہیں اور خاص شاگرد ہیں. انہوں نے پوری دنیا میں اپنے اساتذہ اور اپنے دوستوں کو ایسے ٹیسٹ کیا اور بتایا کہ الحمدللہ آیا یہاں پر مسجد میں ایک چھوٹے سے مدرسے کی اجازت مل گئی مسلم میں پہلی مرتبہ. اور یہاں الحمدللہ روزانہ مدرسے کھلتے ہیں, خانقاہیں ہیں, الحمدللہ اسلام کی خدمت جس طرح ہم چاہتے ہیں ہمارے علماء کر سکتے ہیں یہ بہت شکریہ کا مقام ہے.
حضرت مولانا مفتی صاحب مینشن اسٹ اف یو جسٹ گیو یو سم ایگزامپل اسے لیو دبئی اینڈ ایمریٹس اینڈ ادر کنٹریز اسائڈ یو دیئر نو چانس ٹو اسٹیبلش این اسلامک اور ریلیجیس سیمینری اور اسلامک انسٹیٹیوشن ان دوز کنٹریز. Qatar is considered, amongst them, Qatar is considered to be a very good Muslim country. A whole country in their history, they never had a Muslim Islamic institution of education. Never had it. Only recently now, one of the students of the Mufti Sahib who went there, he was allowed by government in one masjid, small little maktab he can open. So he sent the SMS to the world that alhamdulillah, first time in the history of Qatar, we managed to establish a small little maktab. See, and that is a maktab there. What about in this country? In every street there is a maktab, every street there is a masjid, every street there is a madrasa. We must appreciate this freedom and this ne'mat of Allah.
میرے محترم بھائیوں, ایک زمانہ ایسا تھا کہ اسلامی خلافت مسلمانوں کی مضبوط تھی, جہاں مسلمانوں کو تکلیف ہوتی تھی, مسلمانوں پر کوئی آفت پڑتی تھی, اس وقت اسلامی خلافت فوراً فور ان کی مدد کے لیے پہنچ جاتی تھی. ایک زمانہ تھا حجاج ابن یوسف جو عراق کے گورنر تھے, ولید ابن عبد الملک کی طرف سے. حجاج ابن یوسف کو تو سب جانتے ہیں اور سب نے ان کا نام سنا ہے. ان کو معلوم ہوا کہ سندھ میں راجہ داہر نے بعض عورتوں کو, مسلمان عورتوں کو جو آ رہی تھی اور قافلے کو پکڑ لیا ہے اور ان کو چھوڑ نہیں رہے ہیں. پھر فور حجاج ابن یوسف نے اپنے بھتیجے محمد ابن قاسم کو روانہ کیا فوج کے ساتھ اور فرمایا آپ ان کی مدد کرائیں اور اس کافر ظالم اور اس ظالم کو سبق سکھا دیں. 7,000 کا لشکر تقریباً گیا یا اس سے کم, اور انہوں نے اس راجہ کو بھی خوب سبق سکھایا. اور فتوحات کرتے کرتے ملتان تک پہنچ گئے, گجرات کی سرحدوں تک پہنچ گئے اور اتنے محبوب بن گئے کہ جس وقت محمد ابن قاسم کو سلیمان ابن عبد الملک نے, جو ولید ابن عبد الملک کے بعد آیا, بلایا, اس لیے تو نہیں چاہتے تھے محمد ابن قاسم کو, اس وقت وہاں کے مسلمان اور غیر مسلم رو رہے تھے اتنا اچھا بحران ہم سے جا رہا ہے. ایک زمانہ مسلمانوں کا یہ تھا, مسلمانوں کا ایک زمانہ وہ تھا میرے بھائیوں کہ غیر مسلموں کی مدد ہمارے مسلمان حکمران کرتے تھے اور خلافت اسلامیہ کرتی تھی. روڈ جو اسپین اور پرتگال اور کیا نام ہے یہ وہاں کے ساتھ جو فرانس وغیرہ وہاں کا حکمران تھا, وہ لڑکوں کو رکھتا تھا, لڑکیوں کو رکھتا تھا اور ان کے ساتھ بچپے نہیں کرتا تھا. جولیا کی بیٹی کو بھی رکھا. بیٹی نے شکایت کی اپنے باپ سے کہ مجھے رکھا خادم کے طور پر, نوکر کے طور پر, اور میرے ساتھ زنا کرتا رہا. اس کے والد نے, یولیا نے مراکش اور الجزائر میں جو اسلامی خلافت کا نمائندہ تھا موسیٰ ابن نصیر, اس کو خط لکھا, ہم غیر مسلم ہیں لیکن انسان ہیں, ہمارے اوپر یہ ظلم ہو رہا ہے, آپ آرام سے وہاں بیٹھے ہیں. موسیٰ ابن نصیر نے ولید ابن عبد الملک رحمت اللہ علیہ سے تو حق لکھا اور ان سے اجازت مانگی, کیا کروں؟ انہوں نے اجازت دی, پھر فور آپ لشکر بھیجے, کشتیوں میں چلے, کشتیوں میں کار ہو گئے. اور ایک بات آپ نے فرمایا ہے کہ کشتیوں کو جلایا کہ ہمیں واپس جانا نہیں, ان کو سبق بھی سکھایا اور اس دین کو اسلام میں مملک بنا کر 700-800 سال تک مسلمانوں نے حکومت کی.
کسی زمانے میں مسلمان ایسے اب اگر ہمارے اوپر کوئی مصیبت آ جائے اور ہم قانون کی خلاف ورزی کریں آپ بتائیے ہماری مدد کے لیے مسلمان ممالک میں سے کون آئے گا؟ برما میں مسلمانوں پر کیا گزرا؟ غیر مسلم تو ایسے ہیں جو چاہتے ہیں وہ کرتے ہیں. غیر مسلموں نے ملیشیا انڈونیشیا سے جب وہ چاہتے تھے تو مسلمانوں کے پرانے جزائر کو الگ کر دیا اور الگ مسلم ملک بنا دیا. غیر مسلم اپنا مقصد جس طرح چاہتے ہیں ان کی خلافت موجود ہے. ان کی خلافت پہلے انگلینڈ میں تھی اور ان کی خلافت امریکہ میں ہے, لیکن ہماری مدد کی گئی برما کی مدد کی گئی کون پہنچا؟ سینٹرل افریقہ کے اندر سب مسجدوں کو ختم کیا کون مدد کے لیے پہنچا؟ اس لیے ہمیں پھونک پھونک بھر کے میرے بھائیوں قدم رکھنا چاہیے اور احتیاط کے ساتھ زندگی گزارنی چاہیے. اور یہ جو انفرادی اور اجتماعی نظام اللہ تعالیٰ نے ہمارے سپورٹ کر دیا ہے اس کو خود آگے بڑھانا چاہیے. وہ بڑی امیہ کے زمانے میں ولید بن عبد الملک بنے امیہ کے, حضرت معاویہ رضی اللہ عنہ کے بعد یزید, اس کے بعد معاویہ ابن یزید چند مہینے, اس کے بعد مروان, اس کے بعد عبد الملک ابن مروان, اس کے بعد ولید ابن عبد الملک, اس کے بعد سلیمان ابن عبد الملک, اس کے بعد عمر ابن عبد الرزید, یہ سب بڑی امیہ کے بڑے.
Hazrat has mentioned something in detail for us to understand. As Muslims, we must understand our history also. It's good for us to read our books so we know what our Muslims are doing. Maulana says, Muntisab says, there was a time when Muslim Khilafat was in order and it was running the affairs of Muslim countries, and a real Muslim believer was ruling. Muslims were supported wherever they were. Muslim Khilafat was responsible for them. Not only for Muslims, they were looking after the non-Muslims. Now I gave two examples. One example of helping the Muslims, and one example of Khilafat helping the non-Muslims. Maulana Sayyid Muntisab said, in the time of Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was the governor of Iraq. You know Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, very, very cruel man, used to enjoy killing the people. But he also had Islam in his heart. Walid ibn Abd al-Malik was informed that in India, there is a Raja Dahir. Raja Dahir was a Hindu ruler who was committing zulm against a Muslim. Some Muslim women were passing and he captured them. This news came to Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, the ruler. The Muslim women had been captured by Raja Dahir and he is not releasing them. He ordered Hajjaj ibn Yusuf to send an army to India. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf selected his own nephew, Muhammad bin Qasim al-Saqafi, who was a nephew of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He selected him, he said, he's a young boy. He selected him and he made him the Amir and sent about 7,000 soldiers under his leadership to India. And when they went to India, they conquered Multan, they went right till the borders of Gujarat and they finished that Raja Dahir and everything and converted the whole that country into Islam. Just because some small little group of Muslim women called for help from the Muslim Khalifa. When Muslim Khalifa is ruling, then there will be help for everybody. When Islam is not in proper power, there will be no help. Maulana Sayyid also gave an example. He said, later on, Muhammad bin Qasim, when he was removed because the rulership came, the next brother was Ali's brother named Salman bin Abdul Malik, he removed all those officers from the land. That issue was removed. And then his connection, Muhammad bin Qasim, was called back from India. He said, you come back also, you're no more ruler of India. When he was leaving India, they say Indian Hindus and Muslims both were crying. Muhammad ibn Qasim, the conqueror of India, is leaving us now. Such a kind and merciful ruler the young man was when Islam was in power. Muhammad ibn Qasim gave an example. The other example is Spain. How Spain was conquered? We know Spain, Muslims ruled for 700-800 years. But what happened? Where he started? The starting point was one a Christian ruler, Julia. He was having problems with his king. The king of that time was using girls who were working for him. He was using them as prostitutes. So one girl rebelled and said, we have been employed here. You can't use us for zina. So she wrote a letter to father.
father was a governor of some area. He wrote a letter to Muslims of Morocco, where Musa bin Hussein was a Muslim governor. He received a letter from the Kabul ruler. They say, you Muslims are supposed to be humanitarian people. We are suffering. We may not be Muslim here, but we are suffering at the hands of our Kabul rulers. Please help us. So Musa bin Hussein sent the first army to Spain. And this is the army which burned their boats, which we read in Alamayat Kaz poetry, burned their boats and went into Spain, never to come back. Alhamdulillah, they conquered the Spain, they delivered the mankind from the oppression and spread Islam. Spain became Muslim rule for about 700 or 800 years till later on. The other says, this was Islam, this is Muslim. When Muslims are in power, they will bring peace to the world. Today, nowhere in the Khilafat, some guy calls himself Khalifa, goes sits in England. Where is the Khalifa? And or calls somewhere in some cave somewhere and can't protect himself. Who else is going to protect? Hazrat given us an example of Burma. What is happening in Burma? Muslims suffered so much. Kafirs are going to do to them everything. But where, which Muslim country stood up for them? No Muslim country will ever stand up where Muslim is oppressed. And other Muslims have given some more examples. In Central African Republic, so many Muslims have been burnt. Muslims have been burnt alive. Yeah? 4,000 Muslims were burnt in Central African Republic. No Muslim country has ever. They will build $1 billion Muslims in maybe in Emirates and Dubai. We could read and see their pictures. But here the active Muslims and Muslims inside have been burnt also. Which Muslim country took up their peace? Nobody is fighting for them.
Muslim country to hell, I want to do some things push the hell of the people who are chatting. Or after you got it, the whole thing of Khalafat in a push. Okay, they have Khalafat time for the chatting. Khalafat don't do he was it. Subset any but who get rare Muslim work merit. सबसे पहला काम ये करे कि वो गैर मुस्लिम मुल्क में दावत तबलीग और खानकाही निजाम की लाइन से तालीम के लाइन से वहाँ के लोगों को मुसलमान बना दे ताकि अक्सरियत हो जाए फिर जब उनकी मुसलमानों की अक्सरियत हो जाएगी तो फिर वहाँ मुस्लिम हुक्मरान मुंतखब हो जाएगा फिर जब मुस्लिम हुक्मरान मुंतखब हो जाएगा तो कोशिश करे कि वो अच्छा मुसलमान हो ایسا مسلمان نہ ہو جیسے مصر میں ہے اور دوسری جگہ پر مسلمان ہے نام کے مسلمان پھر تیسرا کام یہ ہے کہ جب اچھا حکمران منتخب کرے تو پھر سب حکمران مسلمانوں کو جمع کرے اور جمع کرنے کے بعد ان سے کہیں کہ آپ ایک خلافت بنا دیں اور ایک آدمی کو منتخب کریں تب یہ ہوگا یہ ایسا نہیں ہے کہ آدمی کسی ملک غیر مسلم میں بیٹھا رہے اور کہتے ہیں ہم خلافت بیٹے ہیں غیر مسلم ملک میں جہاں مسلمانوں کی اکثریت نہیں ہے اور قائم کر رہے ہیں خلافت کو یہ کیسے ہو سکتا
حضرت says that a very important point for those who are dreaming about Khilafat. We don't dream about Khilafat. There are Khilafat is a very rosy picture in our mind. We got everybody thinking about Khilafat. Allah says, no problem. First, you must establish yourself in such a way that you are capable of establishing Khilafat later on. You are living in a non-Muslim society. We are living here. First of all, make yourself a good Muslim. Connect yourself with the education system of Islam, Deen, Khanqai system, Dawah, Tabligh, where good Muslims are going to be produced. That is number one. Number two, after doing that, we must give Dawah to all the natives of this country, people who have given us accommodation in this country. Give them this Deen. When you are going to give them Deen, they will understand it and they will practice it. Inshallah, you will have big numbers. When there are big numbers in the democratic society, anyone who has big numbers, he wins the vote and he can have a president. He says, in that way you can bring a good Muslim to the rule. So mashallah, that nobody will stop you. Allah says that you have a good Muslim, not the Muslim like a mercenary, like that Egyptian CC or whatever, Egyptian ruler. These are not the good Muslim rulers, because they are actually destroying Islam. He says, we have to amongst the Muslims, then we have to select the right Muslim to become our president. Allah says that when we got a good Muslim president, then all the Muslim countries, they got good Muslim president, these presidents must get together and decide that let us appoint one Khalifa on top of us.
And their Khalifa will be acceptable to everybody. Is that Khalifa you sit here living in a non-Muslim society and talking about Khilafat? Is that practical?
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافات الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا ميلا إلا شفيته ولا غائبا إلا رددته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اے رب کریم اس اجتماع کو قبول فرما دے. اے رب کریم جس مقصد کے لیے یہ منعقد کیا گیا ہے یا رب کریم اس مقصد کو حاصل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما دے اور اس مقصد کو پورا فرما دے. اے رب کریم ہمارے نوجوانوں کو نوجوان لڑکیوں کو بچوں کو سب کو ہر قسم کے شر سے فتنے سے خرابیوں سے بربادیوں سے حفظ و امان میں رکھ کے اور بچائے. دنیا اور آخرت کی کامیابی سب کو نصیب فرما دے. اے رب کریم ہم سب کو ہمارے علماء کرام کو حوالہ کو دین کی خدمت کے لیے قبول فرما دے. اے رب کریم ہر وہ خیر جو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے آپ سے مانگی ہمیں عطا فرما دے. ہر وہ شر جس رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے پناہ مانگی ہم سب کو پناہ دے دے. اے رب کریم جنہوں نے اس اجتماع کی فکر فرمائی ہے ان کو جلائے عطا فرما دے اور ان کے حسن نیت پر بہترین نتائج کو مرتب فرما دے. اے رب کریم جتنے حاضرین ہیں ہم سب کو مقاصد حسن میں کامیابی دے دیں. ہم سب کی حاجات کو اپنے فضل کرم سے پورا فرما دے. اے رب کریم اس ملک پر خصوصاً اور پوری دنیا میں آگے حقیقی نے مدارس مساجد مکاتب معابد معاہد خانقاہیں تبلیغ جماعت دینی تنظیمیں سب کی حفاظت فرما دے. سب کی کامیابی سے فرما دے. مدارس میں اور دینی کاموں میں جتنی رکاوٹیں ہیں اپنے فضل و کرم سے ان رکاوٹوں کو دور فرما دے. اس ملک میں خصوصاً پوری دنیا میں امن قائم فرما دے. جہاں مظالم ہو رہے ہیں اپنے فضل و کرم سے ان مظالم کو بند فرما دے. جو ہمارے بڑے ہیں یا رب کریم اس کا سایہ دارے ہمارے سب پر قائم فرما دے. جو وفات پا چکے ہیں ان کو جنت الفردوس نصیب فرما دے. ہماری دعاؤں کو اپنے فضل و کرم سے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی طبیعت قبول فرما دے. خیر و برکات سے مالا مال فرما دے. وصلی اللہ تبارک و تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ وصحبہ.